You're now listening to Sleep Time's Over.
Listen up, everybody, as you tune to this podcast. Sleep Time's Over, come closer to get the raw facts. Zach Moore's hosting on the show, for sure. Recording live from Jawai, that's the dog, you know. Talking reminiscing about the good old days in the now. Sipping on that old fashioned at the room at Eyebrow.
That's
your location worldwide on your stereo deck. On your phone, on the pad, but guaranteed all fresh. Reviewing music and the nuisance that the media miss. But got the blueprint with the newness that the people will take. Good old America ain't ready for that island of slang. Sleep Time is over, give a toast up to the rest of the gang. To your tribe or the vibe or the click on the mission. Suggest you dive cause we live on transmission. Listen, he got the voice that got the locals on vote. Zach Moore's from air, but for now, lock it in for the show. Hey.
Sleep Time's over. Your guest tonight, immerse me in Dagen Joe. We got Tasho Pierce, also like Sands. Through the hourglass, he's going for a record, Wayne Coito. And a big happy birthday to the Baron of Borgone, sommelier to the star, Sky Cameron. Your host tonight, DJ Zach Moore. Bam, 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 bam.
Welcome, welcome. Didn't get burned this time, Lord. Good, thank you.
No fire, no, no fire candles.
Welcome to Sleep Time's Over. This is episode 135, Sky.
Holy crap.
And
really?
I am, yes, that's right. And I'm here along with my friend Sky Cameron, who is a birthday, the birthday boy, as they call it.
Oh.
Just last weekend,
oh
Sky
my God.
Cameron.
And thank
happy
you
birthday.
For thank you for taking me out to dinner, man.
That's right.
Really,
I went
really
to
nice
Senya.
We went
is
to
the
Senya.
Place that they call it. Yep.
Yeah, shout out to Chef Chris Kajioka over there.
Yes, friend of the show. We also have all our friends are here. To my right, we have the Paul Schaefer, the musical
that's
director
right.
of the show. DJ Freeze is here once again in the building. We have that's right. Give it up for Freeze. And of course, you know this show needs sound. If we don't have sound, that's it.
That's right.
So shout out to our sound man, KO, is in the building yet again. Right. Shout out to the Lord Flores, of course, the patriarch. If that's even a thing of the highbrow room, which we are established here, our sponsor, Aloha Beer Company, Sakayan Company, LMC Media. We always keep forgetting this stuff, so I'm going to just put this out here right in the beginning. Chambers Wine, it's you know something about that, Sky.
Thank you, thank you.
Shout out to everybody on Spotify. Our newest edition, iHeartRadio.
Wow.
We are now on iHeartRadio.
That's a big one.
It ain't easy. Shout out to everybody viewing us on YouTube as well. And the growing female listener base that we have. I don't know if you knew about that. Sky, you look, yeah? The growing.
Not the
DJ
growing.
DJ Freeze,
not the growing.
Once again, we're losing female listeners after that one.
Not the growing.
And
but how do you know? How do you know the demo? They actually show you the algorithms?
I get what they call stats.
Oh, nice.
And with these stats, they let me know things. And a big portion that has grown from 10% from last year to 30%.
Oh.
I kind of wanted it to be 31%, then the males would be 69. But
oh, hey.
We lost more female listeners. But with that said, also another growing fan base, just to throw this out there, is in California and Oregon.
Wow.
So what I do is I share is what they call it on the Facebook.
Right.
The latest episode. And then what you do is this is like social media talk here. We boost it. You guys are looking at me like, what the hell am I talking about? Yes,
yeah,
so you boost it to you force it into people's feeds. You're just forcing the thing
you
up in the feed.
You're giving it the Zuckerberg push.
You're doing something, and you're doing something. We're losing female listeners. I'm going to keep doing this, and we're just losing them one at a time.
30% down.
30% down, negative. You do that, and then it'll give you the stats of who's actually clicking and watching it.
Wow.
And the majority, about 80% of this past, the Libby, shout out to Libby DeFreeze appreciation show last week, California and Oregon.
Wow. Well, it makes sense. They got a lot of hippies. And
there you go. Plenty of hollies, right? See, we know. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Yes, the hollies are, yeah. Hummus, you know.
That was the
vegans.
Most, that was the holliest episode we ever did.
That was a potential train wreck, wasn't it? Shit. Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want to tell any tall tales out of school.
We did like 20 minutes on
Jesus
veganism.
Shit. That it worked out. Apparently, the people of California love it.
Okay,
I don't know where. I mean, wine country or something. Maybe out in the forest area. I don't know.
My people.
That exactly. And then shout out to everybody going back to school. Well, we got your school in this week, right? We got, people going in every week. You know, so do you remember in school where you would have to buy a list of crap, you know, as a kid?
Yeah, you'd get that list. Yeah.
Right, do they still do that in 2019? They get composition book, Kleenex.
You know, I would imagine so.
Magic eraser.
We're the wrong guys to ask. We're the two guys with no kids.
I don't know, figure. Yeah. Well, shout out to school in July.
I think the list exists, yes.
They still have that? And they're still buying shit.
Still buying shit, man.
Wow. Go figure.
Where they go now? They go to...
Where do they go for this stuff? Hopaco.
That's dating me, huh? Hopaco or Hopeco?
Shout out Hopaco, Hopeco. Yeah. God.
And then what...
Scotch. Forget it.
What's the other...
What's the other
stationary place in Kaka'ako?
There is a stationary place. It's Fisher Hawaii.
Fisher Hawaii, yes.
Shout out Fisher Hawaii for paper. Yeah. I guess so. That ballpoint
pens. That big depressing warehouse full of staplers.
Yeah, who the hell wants to work over there? You're looking at Marsh pens all day.
I think it's guys that got rejected from the library.
Wow, that says something about your life, doesn't it? All right. With that outstanding, what did you do for this weekend? What has happened? What's going on?
I turned 43. Old.
Wow, revealing your age on the
show.
Well,
No one does that. Okay. I'm embracing my age, man.
Hey, all right.
Class of 94, man.
Wow. 94, golden era of hip-hop. 94, great year.
Illmatic, cut out of school.
Wow, to be grad in the year of Illmatic. Go figure.
That's right.
What a lucky gent you are.
That's right. So, and I celebrated multiple dinners. I got to go out with you. I mentioned that earlier, so thank you again.
Hey, shout out going out with me.
Yeah. All right. It was great. And then shout out to, we said, Chris Kajioka, who literally got off an airplane from San Fran, drove to the restaurant, and then made us truffle rice.
Hold on a second. Now, you're seriously telling me, how did this go down? Like, he got off the plane.
So he got off the plane.
And what's he doing?
He just drove to the restaurant to just check on things. And then remember, at the beginning, we sat down for dinner. We were like, yeah, Chris is going to make us the truffle rice. And they were like, he's not here. We don't know nothing about it.
Right.
So he literally came back, and then he made the rice for us.
Okay, so to revert history on this, of what the truffle rice situation is. Now,
On the menu.
Chris Kajioka was on an episode back in January on this show. And he has the short rib Wagyu that's on the menu. And I told him, you know, straight up, like, can you get rice or what? And he looks all confused. Well, you know, Senia doesn't have rice. He doesn't talk like that, but I just, So I threw that out there, and he said, yeah, I can. And he gets the rice from Pig and the Lady, supposedly. He gets the rice from Pig and the Lady, brings it over, and then he can get rice off the menu item. So we fast forward to now, your birthday dinner, brothers, comes in the clutch.
But we also want to let the listeners know you cannot go to Senya and ask for this.
No, don't do that, no. we didn't send you there.
It's going to piss him off,
no.
Yes.
Yes. He's a very agitated man. He's a moody guy, up and down kind of a guy.
But yeah, five mic dinner, awesome. Yeah. Shout out to all the people over there. And I got taken on another birthday dinner at the Ritz-Carlton, La Vie. You heard of that one?
How's you, La Vie?
Hey, man.
Is that the new
French restaurant in there. It was pretty damn good,
You're local.
Okay. I'll give it 4 mics. I think you should check it out. The one thing you got to know about going over there, it's no AC. It's an open-air restaurant.
Oh, fuck that shit. What are you talking about?
It's hot, man.
No, come on. You're gonna make that as a little red flag at the end like that? You're going to throw that out there?
It's hot.
You kidding me right now?
The food was excellent.
Well, I thought you said the food was going to be hot.
The food was excellent.
Freeze got that joke. Okay.
Hey. Well,
no, I ain't going to that shit, no.
But, you know, speaking of birthdays, you know today's birthday?
Who?
Shout out birthday to the Blastmaster, the teacher, KRS-One, turned 53 today.
Okay. Hold on, I'm a little perplexed. He's only 53?
53.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, wait, how is that possible? Now, you're 43.
I'm 43.
You were 10 when he came out with Return of the Boom Bap in 94.
Well, he recorded The Criminal Minded when he was 16 or 17.
Okay. Wow.
I
would never have thought he'd be 53. I would never have guessed.
He looked 50 when he was 30, though.
Well, he aged kind of like a holly. Yeah. He just didn't age well. But shout out to him.
For being a young
53.
And apparently, for having two classic hip-hop albums under his belt, right? Criminal Minded, Return of the Boom Bap.
And that was about it.
I think that was about it.
That was about it. What else happened with you this? Anything else birthday wise? All kind of parties.
Designate
this as your birthday month.
Birthday weekend, and then we just did a hot sauce party at my sister's place.
What does that mean?
So basically, there's a show on YouTube. Millions of people watch. It's called Hot Ones. You heard of this? So they eat hot wings with celebrities. and they do like an interview show, and then you eat increasingly spicy wings. So we basically recreated that at my sister's house. And so basically we ate hot sauces from like 1,000 Scoville to 1,000,000 Scoville.
What is Scoville?
So Scoville is the spice scale, I guess. So, right. So like 1,000,000 Scoville, just so you put it in context, it's 100 times hotter than a jalapeno.
How long did you guys spend doing this?
Well, a lot of people flamed out. No pun intended.
Wow,
there.
Yeah, I get the rim.
But a lot of people didn't make it to the end. It just got too crazy. So do you like spicy food? Would you ever do that?
I'll do it, but I'm not gonna waste my time doing this.
I was wondering actually if you would consider doing a hot sauce challenge on the YouTube channel.
Possibly. I'll do anything for a buck.
I think that'd be amazing.
All right, that's fine. Maybe I'll do that. I'm not gonna plan some kind of home event where we go, hey, you gotta come to my house, you're gonna do spices and no, come on. Got a shit to do.
I would say if you're gonna scorch your ass, do it for the gram, right? Do it for the YouTube.
Or it didn't happen. Right, exactly. Got it.
But we had a blast. Right. Anyways, how was your weekend? What's going on with you?
Well, not as flamboyant as yours, I guess, if using that word. I was at dinner with yourself on Saturday. But then on Sunday, you know, I have a thing is what they call some leisurely time, as they call it. And I decided to put on a show that it's from a gentleman who is kind of trending right now. He's kind of on fire right now. No pun intended to your shit. Ian Ziering. Ian Ziering. However the hell you say his name.
He would be trending in 2019.
He's trending because his new movie is out on Sci-Fi Channel from the producers of, which is him, Sharknado. He comes out with Zombie Tidal Wave. Now that's his latest endeavor to keep his career going. Because as you know, he's a former member of Cavett probably watched it. He's probably going to text me now. He is a part of a show called 90210, Beverly Hills 90210 back in the day, right? And he was known as the kid back in the day who looked the oldest of all of the kids back in 1991, right?
Yeah, the receding hairline.
Right, and this was at 91. He's not supposed to even look like this. Fast forward to 2019, brother still looks the same, looks better than all the other Yahoos on that new 90210, which I'm going to get into for a second. He looks way better, and he's working. He's got the shark. He's a Sharknado like 9 at this point. You got this Zombie Tidal Wave, which is total trash. Don't watch it.
So I don't understand what the hell is a Zombie Tidal Wave. So they're in the ocean?
All right, so good question. So there is a crack in the sea. Of course, there's always going to be cracks. And then in the crack, there's some chemical that comes out of the sea. There happens to be some dead bodies that just happen to be floating around in the sea. They're in like Taiwan or Vietnam or something. I don't know, Bangkok. And then they're there. The zombies are floating around. You know, going to be Asian zombies, right? They got to cast, you know, a lot of Asians. And then they put the blue chemical all over the place, and it gets them all to awaken. They're all zombies in the sea. And then for some reason, the tidal wave erupts from the crack chemical, all that zombie tidal wave.
So they're flying out like dolphins and stuff?
They're coming. It's like Sharknado, but it's like a big wave. They're coming in and just attacking Taiwan, attacking Singapore. You know, all the crazy rich Asians all getting taken down from the zombies. And then Ian Ziering is a fisherman.
This sounds awful.
And it's really bad. And it's really like shit vomit. And Ian Ziering is a producer of this. He's still making money. He's got that 90210, that new one. Did you see this?
No.
They rebooted 90210.
You actually texted me
to
have me to watch
this. This is the most fucking bizarre show I've ever... Bizarre.
Yeah, because it's like meta,
They're
right?
playing themselves.
Yeah, they're playing
Let me break this down to you. So 90210 is about the real actors.
So Jason Priestley
going
plays
into
Jason
all the
Priestley.
Same fuckers, yes. Right. They go in there, and then they're going to a Vegas reunion. And the Vegas reunion for show 90210, and they're all like... They got divorce problems. They're all... everybody's cheating on everybody. Husband's cheating on everybody. The wife's a cheat. Everybody's cheating. Tori Spelling's broke. And they go to this convention, and they crack up. Tori Spelling goes nuts. She gets drunk, and she steals a dress. They get arrested. They go to jail. Tori Spelling got to pay a fine. Tori Spelling broke. She can't pay the fine. So she tells Jenny Garth, hey, why don't we go to Fox and reboot 90210? And Jenny Garth says, okay, screw it.
So the show is
about
them
show.
Trying to start
the show? The show, yes.
What the
Can
shit?
Can you follow? It's fucking stupid. I can't take my eyes off of it. It's like the school bus fire.
The elephant in the room that Luke Perry?
Luke Perry, yes. They toasted Luke Perry and that was it.
Wow.
Shannon Doherty is like some vegan that's saving like dolphins. And they literally have her like pulling off like the six-pack ring. you know, that plastic shit? And he's pulling it off, she's pulling it off seal. So every time they cut to Shannon Doherty, she's pulling off plastic off a seal. So they're kind of, it's kind of like a dark humor kind of a thing.
Sounds awful.
Right. So where they're in the shows, they got signed on, they're doing the show, the reboot, and then there's a stalker. And the stalker wants them all dead. And that's the end of episode 2. So I got you guys all caught up. You don't even need to watch the fucking
thing. Wow, spoilers.
So, because none of you guys are going to go watch this after I told you. So you go whenever the hell they show this thing, you know, it's all on demand.
So every week, are you going to give 90210 recaps then?
I just might. I just might, because I'm probably the only motherfucker watching this thing. And it's just, it's a fascinating to see where this is going to go. Because
yeah.
It's them playing themselves, making a show that's not about themselves, but about the show they were on.
Whew, I couldn't even keep up with that one.
I'm amazed I said that. So that's what I did on the weekend.
Nice.
That's what I did on Sunday.
Yo, I clicked on that about 3 minutes in. I clicked
out. Oh, wow.
Freeze tried it, but he said he couldn't do it.
You didn't try it?
Not going to be able to do it.
Just smoke a little bit, and then you go try them, and you'll be all right.
Nothing I could smoke.
Just smoke a little bit. Can.
He said not enough weed can make that good.
Oh, okay. Sorry then, Freeze.
Oh, I was just saying, I got you on why it's intriguing, but no.
Okay, I got it. You don't want, you're telling me, F up, you don't watch it. I think we're going to get you to watch it. We're going to try
it.
We have party. We have hot sauce party, and then watch episode 3. All right.
Well, I watched something actually good on the weekend. I watched that new movie, Good Boys. It debuted number one at the box office.
Yeah.
It's from the producers of Superbad, Seth Rogen, and Evan Goldberg. They're on fire. They produced The Boys on Amazon Prime. We talked about that.
Right. It's a great show.
That's the funniest movie of 2019 so far.
Really?
But it's been a weak year for comedies.
Right.
You know, but this is...
So Good Boys, what is this about? This is about kids.
The premise is, these 12-year-olds are trying to go to their first kissing party. And So they have this whole plan to, you know, learn how to kiss. And it goes a little haywire because they lose the father's drone because they're trying to spy on the neighbor. The neighbor is like a teenage girl who's like always making out. So they're trying to like spy on her with the drone. And
it's about
they
teenage
lose
sex,
the drone
basically.
And then it turns into a whole little adventure, mini adventure. But
and this is an R-rated movie.
It's hard.
So it's teenagers having sex. It's illegal or some shit.
No, the 12-year-olds aren't having sex.
Well, what are they doing? They're trying to make out and they're trying to look at people naked.
You got to watch it.
Wow, this is...
It actually is...
What a difference from 90210.
It's raunchy, but the movie still... The kids remain kind of innocent because they don't know... Right. They don't get the references. They're not getting the dirty jokes.
All right.
So...
But it was worth
checking
out.
It's hysterical, man.
Sure?
It's the funniest movie of the year so far. So I highly recommend
that's
it.
That's saying something. Okay.
So...
All right.
So...
A lot of weird shit.
You want to mention any of the things going on in
well,
the
you
news
know,
or what else has been going on?
Freaking out of this Instagram thing. Instagram making everybody public. Everybody's posting this bullshit little thing. Okay, you've seen this? I think you were a Freeze. You probably saw this, right?
Every other person on the feed.
They're posting this. Right. Please don't show my pictures. I don't want to see my pictures. Well, too bad. Isn't that what Instagram is? Isn't you supposed to show your pictures on the damn thing? You already posting pictures on that thing. It's what's the reason for you taking them off? I mean, at this point. Are you going to sue Instagram? You think you're going to win? No. So what? I don't know what everybody's getting all upset about. If you decide to post your pics on there, you get what you sold. Just don't post pics of you like twerking naked or something or smoking batu or something. I don't know.
Was there something in there that said even the DM photos, like they have that as well or whatever?
Well, they didn't go that specific, but they're just based off of this post that everybody's reposting is saying that if you were to post this thing up, that means you're telling Instagram, hey, don't use my pictures. Which is total bullshit, but Instagram's got it all. So the Russians got it all anyway. It doesn't matter.
The Russians got it all. Anyone who signed up to Face app.
That stupid Face app thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The Russians
have fun making
they're
you look old.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got all your info now, guys.
They're making the Mission Impossible masks of everybody right now.
Okay,
so.
Can't wait. But that's what's been going on today.
I heard there was some controversy regarding the Rockets exhibition game coming to Hawaii. You want to mention that?
The bots are undefeated. That's all I got to say. The bots always win. You can go and sign up. They tell you 9 a.m. sign up for the tickets. You can go on there 8:59, 8:58. Doesn't matter. The bots will take you down.
How long did it take for this game to get sold out?
It took probably like a minute or 2 minutes.
Wow.
Shut down. It's like Supreme. It's just you go in there, you get in, get out. Get your Madonna Supreme shirt, get out of there. It was what happened. I went in there at 9 a.m. Pre-sale. Now, this is a pre-sale. 3 hours before midnight, or not midnight, 12 noon was supposed to be the regular one.
Right.
Go in there, gone. Everything's gone. I luckily got and procured 2 tickets. Like I'm sitting against
secondhand
the wall.
Secondhand? Or you actually
got
them?
No, this is brand new. This is real tickets. Not from the dreaded scalper. I was sitting there right against the wall like I'm going to be in the last row last. like row Z or something, whatever. Right. Same like when I'm at the theaters.
Well, you like back row, like the theater,
I like,
right?
So like close to the bathroom, you know, right. Benjo. But then you go over there, go make the shishi, get out of there. But then that's basically where I'm going to be at. So they're on StubHub now, going for like $500 last
really?
Time I checked. For preseason game.
Wow.
Two quarters out. I mean, really, that's about it. So,
speaking of a preseason game, you didn't go by that Rams game at the stadium.
Well, as you know, Sky, and anyone that's listened to the show, is that I avoid Aloha Stadium with
yes,
a passion.
Like the plague.
Because I do not want to get tetanus on my way driving over there and have the thing crash on me while I'm still driving there. So I'm not going to do it. But a lot of people have. And we're going to talk to a gentleman who's there later on in the show. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, should we move on to NFL-related news, the biggest news right now? Jay-Z and yep. Roc Nation has signed a deal with the NFL as
yeah.
to become their live music strategist.
Yeah. Okay.
And he will consult with the NFL on all their halftime shows and other live performances at yep. NFL events. And he'll also be involved in NFL's social justice campaign and their Inspire Change initiative.
Right.
So what's your thoughts on this, man?
Okay. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick, right? Because this is what it's all stemmed from.
Right.
Right. And we look back in retrospect, this guy is going to be one of the most influential sports figures of all time. I mean, think about it. Like Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to be mentioned along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in, right? It's pretty incredible.
Right.
Because he sacrificed his career.
Right.
He can't get a job. Mm-hmm. Every trash quarterback is getting signed. Like, well over this guy, and this guy's still in his prime. You have a guy, Josh McCown. He's like 45 years old. He's still getting a job in the NFL. Our guest later is going to know who Josh McCown is. Sky doesn't know.
I have no clue.
Yeah. Tears of McCown. Okay, but I'm just saying, like, he's not. He gave up his career. Luckily, he got, like, you know, thank you to Nike for the giving the ballsy move to support him.
Right.
And, the, you know, giving him a cash here. But
do you feel that, you know, Jay-Z was an avid supporter of Kaepernick?
Well, and that's where it comes in.
Semi-conflict of interest, but now that you know Roger
all.
Goodell is saying, like, well, he's our checks and balances now. He will tell us what is.
No, so you got to look at it like this, okay? So the fact that you're getting Jay-Z in a room with Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft,
mm-hmm.
the good old boys,
mm-hmm.
the old Hollies, you can get Jay-Z,
Illuminati.
A guy from the Marcy Projects, in there with these billionaire assholes that can have a say where they're going to turn to look at him and actually listen to him, hopefully. But the fact that he's in the room and he's part of the playing the chess game is big. And if there was any guy out there in the for this the position, it would be him. So, and that's why Colin Kaepernick's efforts were not going to go unwasted, because it's because of all of this controversy. They finally had to do something, because NFL, they always feel like they're untouched. No one can touch
right.
these guys. Finally, the crack has finally been made big enough. That, hey, I guess we're going to call out this Jay-Z guy.
Isn't it the NFL that said their lowest ratings now? Or
well, it's lowest ratings. You got domestic violence everywhere. Everybody's yeah. got concussion issues. Yep. You know, you got all kinds of issues. It's really bad PR. So by doing this, the Super Bowl halftime, it gets trashed because of bad PR, because of social issues. That's why they brought this guy in. And I think it's because of we have Colin Kaepernick to thank, where it didn't go unnoticed that he helped influence this.
Right.
And I'm for this.
All right.
I'm for Jay-Z doing this. I think he's the right guy for it, and for him to be in the table.
All right. I look forward to seeing Beanie Siegel and Memphis Bleek at next year's Super Bowl.
What are they doing right now?
They're not doing
anything. Lord. Hopefully they're doing something. Beanie Siegel, really?
Shout out Beanie Siegel.
Memphis Bleek, you doing something? Okay. Fine.
Beans is very underrated.
Yes.
All right. In other entertainment news, have you heard about the negotiations with Sony and Marvel Studios have reportedly fell through, and Sony has now again taken full rights to the Spider-Man character, and Marvel Studios cannot use Spider-Man in any of their future films until a new deal is met.
Does that mean what, Tobey Maguire coming back or something?
So a rep at Sony says a possible multiverse storyline could possibly include all three Spider-Man actors if they agree to it. So would you want to see a Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire, and Andrew Garfield? Sounds like a nightmare.
See, that sounds awful. I didn't even know Andrew Garfield was Andrew Garfield. So I didn't watch that one. That was like where Spider-Man's like depressed or something, right? Look, isn't that Emma Stone in that movie? The Amazing
Emma Stone,
Spider-Man?
Yeah, Emma Stone was...
That like some kind of Twilight ripoff or some bullshit? No. Can get them out of there. It's a sad thing. I mean, that's right. They got the X-Men guys. They got Deadpool and all of them.
Well, that's 20th Century Fox.
Right. But then they lose Spider-Man in this situation.
Yeah.
That's good. Anybody could have him go fight Venom.
That's the plan. But
which
Tom
I refuse
Holland,
to watch still. I'm not
Tom Holland's contract is, you know, it's so they need to make sure that he's still willing to do the films with Sony, right? So it's not even guaranteed. They might have to cast another Spider-Man.
So he's on board whether he likes it or not. That's what's happening.
Yeah, unless he has it says anything else in his contract.
Wow, PlayStation for the shit, right?
Everybody's sad. All the nerds are sad. Right. I'm sad.
All the virgins sad. Everybody in the basement sad. Yep. Everybody kissing magazines of girls are sad. Yep, that's great. Sorry.
Well, speaking of sad, job search website Monster.com has recently revealed in a study that 8 out of 10 people have broken down and cried at work.
Well,
so specifically due to issues with their bosses or coworkers. So not personal issues outside of work. That means 80% of people work in a semi-toxic environment.
Have you cried at work, Scott?
Not at this job, but other jobs.
Hey, all right.
Remember, I used to work at Long's Drugs.
Hey, shout out Long's.
Cried a lot over there.
Shout out Sunday Ed. Well, I'm just... It's a common thing, right? Isn't it? I mean, everybody's all pissed off at their boss. Everybody gets pissed off.
Have
but somebody
you ever
physically
cried
crying,
at work?
I cry hourly, regardless. it's good to let
Does
it
your
out.
Tear ducts but work?
They worked earlier today. I cried before I started the show. I mean, what do you like? Take a good long cry, let it out. You know, dehydrate a little bit. Then I drink. But I'm just saying, it's just a thing that I. It's common, right? I mean, isn't it? You think crying is a thing? Oh, do what you do and not what you want to do. It's like Bobby Caldwell or something. Sorry. No, what you won't do for love. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong reference. But everyone is, hopefully everyone has emotion, right? You don't want.
Well, I knew a lot of people hated their job.
What are you talking about
here? I didn't know it was like 80%.
That means like about over half of the people here have cried at work.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You want to take this survey to the streets?
Are we doing audience questions after? Okay, I mean, I'm not going to fault them, but I mean, it is what it is. People don't like their boss. People have emotions. Hopefully, you know, that can be controlled with medication.
Right. Okay. Well, speaking of someone who obviously hates their job, I don't know if you heard this story, but a traveler was handed a note while waiting in line for security at a New York airport checkpoint, and the worker walked up to him and handed him a note. And the guy was confused, and he proceeded to walk away with the note in his hand. The security agent then yelled at him to open the note and read it, and he opened it up, and it said, "You ugly." He was so confused, he didn't know what to do. He went on the flight, landed, and then filed a complaint with the airport, and the security cameras reported the TSA agent handing him the note while he was in the security line. What the hell is this?
Wow.
So the TSA worker has been fired. But man, are you having that much of a bad day, or do you just hate somebody that much that you got to hand them a note that says you ugly?
Has anyone ever said that to someone? Like, have you ever told anybody you ugly? Like, have you ever gone
when
to somebody?
Yeah, when I was in elementary school.
Really? You've done that? You bad kid. I mean, who does that, first of all? Who does that that's over the age of 18, second of
all? This was like a 40-year-old woman that did this.
What's a worse put down? Like, being called stupid or being called ugly? What would be worse? Ugly, yeah? Because nobody wants to be ugly.
I think it just depends on what you're more insecure about.
You
want to
be
about, right?
Well, I mean, because, you know, you can be, hey, you stupid. But then if you say, hey, you ugly. You an ugly guy. And then you're going to kind of, you might cry. And then you'll be at work and you're going to cry at that. So, I mean, it's 80%. They're going to be maybe crying because their boss is calling them they're ugly. And then you have another lawsuit. But I don't know. I mean, for someone to actually do that, he
this is such a bizarre story, right?
This could be connected to the previous story of the guy being disgruntled at work. He's pissed off. He's ready to cry. So instead of crying, he's going to tell people, you know, they're ugly.
The guy that was handed the note was just like this average, like 30-year-old white guy. And then the TSA agent was an older black woman. So maybe she just hates white guys. I don't know.
Well, you see, always racial tension going on. Body search is free. Well,
there's been no comment from
the worker. Wow, wait a minute. Now, if you get a body search and then they tell you ugly after the body search, that's Bush League, as they say. Come on, people. Really?
Okay.
Well, I would say being ugly is a bad thing. I just don't call anybody ugly. That's not, you know.
How would you like to get that, like, hand a note before you go on an airplane?
That'd be depressing. I would be very sad. I would be very depressed. From some regular 30-year-old guy, too.
And she yelled at him to read it.
Right. That's very depressing. Are we going to end the segment on?
No, no, we're gonna end on a positive note. We're gonna give some shout outs to our friends of the shows. There was the Made in Hawaii Festival.
Oh yeah, shout out Cavett.
So shout out Cavett. He released his
Liberty House inspired
design.
Finally, that full release
by a round of applause. Who in this room remembers what Liberty House is? Do you guys remember what Liberty House is?
Liberty House fans.
All right.
Hey, all right.
Oh, no. We got a former employee.
Oh, hopefully you weren't there when I shoplifted there. So yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
You really shoplifted there?
Shout out Justin Park and I shoplifted there. Yeah. Shoplifted in the men's department. Well, you know, I had the Nautica Tommy Hilfiger.
So
you
know, what were you
stealing?
You go
down the elevator, the escalator. You know, Nautica Tommy Hilfiger. Collared shirts, the polos. This was 96, 97.
So
man,
were you putting shirts on top of shirts? You were doing that deal, or what?
Tommy Hilfiger all day. Raekwon the Chef all day.
Oh,
95,
you were a thug.
96.
That's shoplifting.
That's not a thug. We had to do what we had to do. Wow. And then, you know, we were having fun. And then we just did there, and Justin Park was there. Shout out Justin Park.
We were boosting.
And we figured out a way to take off those tags. I shouldn't say this. Anyway. But there's the tags on the shirt that if you take them off a certain way, the ink shoots out and you damage the shirt. Back in the day, I don't know what it's like now because I don't do this now. But that was the thing we learned.
Did you have ink all over yourself?
No, because I said we figured it out how to get it off. But as we figured out how to get it off, what you guys doing? And then we got caught.
Oh, damn.
And then we didn't get pressed, though. We didn't get charges pressed, though.
So
they just
happened?
Kept us there for a while. Oh. And then that was it. And then
he told you guys were ugly.
He was like, oh, God. Can you imagine? Then getting told ugly at that
and
moment
stupid.
When you're like the lowest and stupid. You think you can shoplift? I don't know. But we got out of it. We did it.
Yeah.
It was good. You know, shout out to seeing the Ultimate Warrior there.
He
was there for a meet and greet. Yeah, wow. Ultimate Warrior, 1992, I think this was, 93. Yeah.
I just remember shopping there with my mom. I got lost there multiple times as a child. It was a traumatic place for me.
How old were you at this one? 18?
I was around like 6. Okay. I was like 6 years old. I would just run to the toy section, and then you know how that goes, and then you just lost.
That's right. Shout out Liberty House having toys back in the day, right?
Toy section, man.
Yeah, and then... Well, so we a lot of people we got to shout out.
Yeah, we got to shout out Pig and the Lady, Moke's Bread and Breakfast.
Moke's Bread and Breakfast, yes. Is he here?
Earl Kaimuki, because they all made Thrillist best restaurants in Hawaii.
Earl Kaimuki, right? Shout out to Justin B. Moore, the controversial Earl Kaimuki.
Yeah.
Loves Kanye West. Earl Kaka'ako.
Shout out E-40. I love E-40.
I guess not Justin. But I guess I'll just briefly, there's more to come, but we're going to be doing an event at Earl Kaka'ako myself.
That's right, and I heard you're taking a little bit of a job over at Earl, a little part-time gig over there. Am I wrong?
You are. What are you talking
about?
Am
I premature? I thought
I'm just DJing there.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a job. I'm not washing the dishes over there.
Well, they are paying you.
I'm not being the hostess or something.
You're not working for sandwiches.
It's what they call DJing a night. Sky, what the hell?
So one night?
We're gonna
I thought you said it's going to be a regular thing.
We're going to do a night. This is when you don't listen. We're going to do a regular night. It's going to be on a Thursday. It's going to be called Tribute because it's on a Throwback Thursday. You get it?
Okay.
Hit the rim shot.
I got it now.
So it's it's going to be called Tribute where he's going to bring back like old school foods like grilled cheese sandwich, burger. And then that's going to be, I think, once. We haven't figured it out, specified yet, but I'm going to theme the music for that night rather than just, okay, here I am playing 90s hip-hop. I'm going to go and theme it out. So we'll do like, I was thinking like we do the Bay Area that's not E-40.
Okay.
And I'll play the best of the Bay Area. And whenever E-40 plays, I have to turn it off.
That's blasphemous.
It's just like you talk to the owner. But it'll be like a joke. It'll be like a best of like 93 or best of like when he grad high school.
All right.
I grad 97. So I was thinking I'll be the best of 97 hip hop night.
Cool.
While you have like grilled cheese sandwiches and like old school tuna melts. I think you can make that. But like, that's the thing. Tribute. That's what it's called. Follow along here. Marketing.
All right.
So that's coming up September.
Got it.
Thanks for the clapping,
right on,
please. Thank you. Thanks.
Great. That sounds awesome. And then one last shout out to Purvey Donuts.
Yes.
For being Business Insider's best donuts in Hawaii, and they were listed on the best donuts in the country list.
Really? Wow. Shout out to that, huh?
Yeah. So
good stuff. Shout out Purvey. So guests of the show, friends of the show.
Good guys.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And that's pretty much it for topics. Unless you got any other violent rants you want to go on.
No, nothing on the violence.
You want to talk about episode 2 of 90210, or are you good?
Well, I just did talk about it.
Oh, I thought you talked about episode 1.
No, I gave the full episode 1, episode 2 recap here.
Oh, Jesus.
See what happens when you turn old? This is what happens. Yep. See, you lose it.
I got to
take 43, you just lose it.
Why didn't you buy me some Ginkgo biloba, man?
Oh, shit. That shit doesn't work. We got to get to it. We got great guests on this week, man. We got Tasho Pierce is here. We've been trying to get this guy on, man. Akira 8, Umanaka's down the line, Emers, all kind of, we have all kinds of stories to talk about. And then we're going to finally get to talk sports. No offense, guy.
Yeah.
Wayne Coito is here. We're going to talk about sports. UH football, you know, the Angels of Anaheim. Turn on the I-5. Okay, so let's take a break here. Sleep time's over. We'll be back.
Yo, yo, I'm Special K from the Awesome 2 representative course for the Blastmaster.
And it's the Oop Child, Teddy 10. You know we down with the KRS. One, one, one.
Since day one, all right?
Ooga.
Peace.
Boom, bap, original rap. Sleep Time's Over, we'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger. One time for your mind. Hey yo, what up? It's the drink ring and the ruckus.
No doubt we's the roughest dream team. Reign supreme like a cutlass getting done. Back. Once again, Sleep Time's Over. And before we introduce our first guest, Sky, news and notes, as we say, last show of August.
Yes.
Before we take our week break here, but we got to shout out August 31st. Rocky Rivera.
That's right.
Rocky Rivera concert. With the good people at Hip Hop Time Machine.
That's
DJ
right.
DJ Rosa. That's going to be at Next Door, Castle Park. Shout out Omega 6. They'll be performing as well. Tickets will be at Information and then at Ube Hawaii.
That's right, Ube.
You like the Ube?
In Kalihi.
Yeah. Yeah, in Kalihi?
Yeah, it's like all right. That? Yeah, it's good.
You say that every time we mention Ube Hawaii. Yeah, which means you don't like it. So, I don't know. I'll try it. I don't know. But DJ XL will be there. DJ Don, Titabyte will be there. DJ Drama will be there.
Hey.
Liberty
hey.
House's own DJ Drama will be there. And they're going to be House Supper Club. It's going to be the main room, which is going to be Trippy Drama. I don't know how you're going to explain to me this one. They're going to have the neo-soul golden era hip-hop main room, right? So we're going to put the EDM away, and we're going to have the golden era hip-hop, which is your year.
Yeah.
Your
94.
94. And of course, after that, 2 a.m., then all the, you know, all the fuckers leave, and we put in the EDM trap.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of, you know, shit. It's fine. But, yeah, check that out. Tickets are still available.
Can I mention really quick my event at Pig and the Lady next week?
Yes.
And the summer Pig Jam.
We're the hip-hop dinner.
Hip-hop dinner. We have only 8 seats left. We're maxing out at 40, so right now we got 32 signed up. But, yeah, go to Pig and the Lady's Instagram or go on pigandthelady.com to check out the details. It's $85 per person, and it's 5 courses, 5 wines, plus a specialty cocktail from bartender Matty Kua. Shout out to Matty Kua.
Hey, shout out Kauai.
And yeah, so it should be really fun. And did the menu with Christine, Chef Christine over there, kind of the right hand to Chef Andrew.
The people that don't know what your dinners are, they're hip hop themed dinners. So, explain to us.
I work only with chefs that are fans of hip hop music, and I leave it to them to be inspired by the music to create their courses. So I told her to pull a little bit from, you know, whatever era of hip hop she wants, and she can kind of create. So she has a course based on Tribe Called Quest. She has a course based on People Under the Stairs. She has a course based on Migos.
Hey,
she has a course based on Nas, hey. And then she's finishing off the dessert course with Drake. So it should
as
be interesting. She got some boom bap, and she got some current stuff. So
Drake dessert for the win.
It should be an interesting night. So you will be in attendance, right?
They're fun. I think so. Am I going to this?
Then? I don't know.
Am I signed on for this?
You got a seat.
I mean, come on, a wave or something?
I got you down on the list. So.
Good,
but
good
yeah,
know,
eight
yes.
seats
right.
left, so
very
I hope
good.
To see some people there.
It's a fun time. It's always fun dinners. And then we'll be back September 3rd. September 3rd, we'll be back with Curbside Worldwide's
that's right.
CEO, whatever. They have a million acts. And one of the million acts we'll be on is Mesmer. He's going to be on there. Ironically named after a character on The Boys TV show.
That's right.
If people follow that. No spoiler. And then September 10th, Tiffany will be back on
that's
as well.
That's right, Tiffany.
Tiffany will be back on.
Back from the Hamptons.
Back from the Hamptons. Go figure. Asians in the Hamptons. And then we got September 10th. We'll be Marion Ito. Yes, right Woo. There. That'll be fun. Finally get our first singer on the show. That's
right.
Never happened. But with that said, our first guest here is, I can't really put it any other way, but just the Hawaii hip-hop legend.
Yeah.
He is a guy that I followed his career since, once again, 94. 93, 94. That's the year of this show. And he's been in the game for us a long time. And he's evolved throughout the years, and it's gonna be so great to talk story with this guy. Let's welcome Tasho Pierce
Woo!
To the show.
Yes. What's up, y'all?
What's up? We got your drinks right here.
Yes.
I'll set up, good to go. Okay. I gotta go right off the bat. All right. I'm gonna get this out of the way. When did you start rapping?
Man, I started probably it was we were with my man Fungi, Kalani High School. We did Brown Bags and Stardom, but we really started in we had my man Mr. Rios. He was over here sitting quietly.
Yes.
At the table. That's our original producer of Humanakas and Invisible Ink, and he was kind of the main guy there, the catalyst and platform for all of us. We started in his parents' bedroom, and just we were always just, you know, listening to Tribe, listening to De La, and just even before that, we would just be driving around Tantalus drinking 40 ounces, going to the park, drinking. And eventually, you know, we started, you know, playing Ghetto Boys, anything that had bass, you know, second to none, anything that was slamming. My boy J-Ride had the he had the Civic with like a 15 in the back. And this was like those tiny Civics, you know what I mean? And so we're driving around just slamming whatever had the most bass.
Yeah.
And it's all about the bass. Eventually, you know, we started like freestyling and stuff. And then eventually we found out Gijo, who we didn't know, we met him later, that he had a four track. And he had moved from the East Coast. So he had already the knowledge and the game of hip hop. You know, he moved from New York, I think upstate New York.
Yeah.
And then our first performance was Brown Bags for Stardom. And I think I don't remember what we said, but I remember Malala took off his beanie and had this big afro, and the whole place went crazy. Yeah. The whole like gym went crazy. And then I remember at the end of the performance, we're like, oh, I was like, oh, Mr. Tokioka, yeah, you can get the Bozak. That was our vice principal. And I was like, I-94, who sponsored the event, you can get the Bozak. So we didn't win that, but we did a good performance. People loved it. And that was the start. You know, we had
I didn't want to reveal this to you, but yes, I was actually there because I went to Kalani.
What?
And I saw that.
Oh, you saw that?
I remember
that's
Malala
crazy.
Doing this.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I wanted to reveal that and surprise you now because I knew he was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
And it was crazy then.
Talk about the beginning. That is the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. There, like, I remember, I was like, who are these guys? And I was just an outcast listening to the rap music. And I'm like, wow. Somebody actually related to me and spoke to me there for a second as I'm in this stupid event that we had to attend to.
Yeah,
that
assembly or whatever.
Right. One of those assemblies. Waste time. But yeah. So literally from there, was that the first steps of the Humanakas?
Yeah, I mean, and then we connected with, you know, some other few other members. Todd G was also.
Shout out. Yep,
Todd G was with Gijo. They were at Kaiser. Me and Malala were at Kalani.
Yep.
Moon Ideal was also at Kalani off and on, not really.
he was kind of there.
Yeah, whenever he could make it. And then we had, who else? Yeah, so that was pretty much the squad. And of course, Ha'o, who ended up being my right hand man throughout my whole career through Invisible Ink, even when I went solo as Immerse, you'd see him always holding me down on stage and even to this day. So, yeah, so he was Roosevelt. And then also VM, which was our crew High State, they're also Roosevelt. That's Buzz One.
Right, Casper, Boogaloo Buzz, shout out.
Boogaloo Buzz out of Maui now. And then there was also, there's like some remnants of like our whole, you know, punk rock scene. Like Amos was a drummer that was he kind of went into this kind of jazzy hip hop group called the Bastads. We had Ray in there, and actually a good homie by the name of Marty Kenny, who passed away last year. He was also in the Bastads. He's a really talented artist, and I kind of want to try to bring some of his art to light now that, you know, he's a really talented guy, and it's just sad to see him go. He's very like we experimented a lot in with a lot of different hallucinogens and stuff, and we just did that for a little while, but he kind of kept on going for a long time, so he was always in that trippy mind frame. And I guess what had happened is he went off on a spirit quest in Utah somewhere, and I don't know if he was on or anything or what,
right.
But he was just like very spiritual person, and he kind of maybe got lost or something, and then they've had the search party. And so rest in peace, Marty Kenny. He's definitely a part of the High State family.
Wow, rest in peace. When was this?
This was just probably the last, within the last year, man. Wow. So it's still kind of fresh.
Wow.
Like, it's kind of crazy when, you know, somebody from your crew is, transcends to the next. So, yeah.
Wow. And but from there, if we kind of chronicle everything, the next thing that I remember all of you guys, was on KTUH.
Oh, man.
And
Soul
69. There was a show before that. I think it was called The Compton Show.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember this? It was before. I remember this because it was the first time I heard swearing on the radio, and I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they play, like, tons of Guns, Gangstar, and I'm like, why are they swearing on the radio? Because I was told never that they don't swear on the radio, and I was always listening to this stuff. And it was called that, and then they brought you guys on mm-hmm. periodically. Soul 69 was the major one.
Right.
I think that was, like, on a Thursday or a Wednesday.
Who was the DJ on that one? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh.
I just remember the DJs mostly. Like, I know
there's Mr. E.
Yeah.
Right.
Mr. E. Itaru.
So I think maybe they started as the Compton Show. Wow. And they switched it to Soul 69, which is much better.
Yeah. That was our first chance to get on the radio. And that was, like, as an artist, that's, like, the biggest rush you can get, hearing your music on the radio or getting on the radio, especially back then. We were just in the clubs and just trying to, turn up and get our name out and, like, freestyling and battling and whatever we could do. You know, we're just kind of new to hip-hop and just trying to experience it all. And, that was one of the big breakthroughs for us, is going on there. And then we realized, oh, wow, it's not just us. There's actually a lot of other hungry MCs that are trying to, like, get on this mic. And you really got to come correct if you want any kind of airtime, you know. Like, there's guys like The Abyss.
Shout out The Abyss, man.
They were kind of our mortal enemies at the time.
But
after the years passed, you're like, man, I kind of miss those guys. They were actually pretty tight.
Because they're a different the flavor all to themselves.
Yeah, they're a real East. They're kind of like our Wu-Tang. A lot of them came from I know, rest in peace. I know not Master Fu, but Black Mist. He I think car crash. He had passed away recently, but rest in peace. He was nasty. There's Master Fu was nasty. They had some really dope MCs. But at the time, we had heard, like, rumors of him, like, them saying stuff like, oh, man, we killed the Humanakas.
Right.
And we're like, of course, we're not having that. Like, who killed who, what? And then so we're, went to call them out or whatever. And I remember there's multiple times we had, like, full-on crew battles. And I remember there was one time at the Lauryn Hill concert, and this is, like, still, we're just starting to rap. I don't even know. Maybe we had one show at that point, our first opening show was a Booyah Tribe in Farside at UH.
That's right.
That was like our first show.
That's right.
And it was like shortly after that, and it was the Fugees were in town.
I was going to ask you that, okay.
We were planning on going to see the Fugees, but we ended up in the parking lot, and then we ran into the Abyss, and we're like, oh, I heard you said you killed the Humanakas. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we did. We killed the Humanakas. Like, what? We'll battle right now. And then so everybody's like, it's paired up, like in this parking lot. Everybody's like battling each other. And then I remember there's one of the guys in their crew that wasn't, like, really rapping, but I think Casper was rapping at him, but he wasn't a rapper. And then at one point, he, like, pulled out this freaking, he had a paper bag with a strap, and he's like, yo, Casper, you're acting a little bit grave. And then, like, we're like, okay, let's get out of here. And that was the end of that battle. So I don't know who really won, but we left
out. Yeah, no winners, no losers there. Yeah. Wow.
So, but that was just the beginning of our feud, you know? It's like that just fueled the fire. And then eventually we had an actual real battle at KTUH where all of them battle all of us.
Which I was going to mention next, and that was one I remember very much so.
Yeah,
and
that was wild. I think Size still has, like, the tape of that.
I think so, yeah. Shout out Size One. I tell you, we'll get to more of him. Yeah. I always would remember, like, me as a listener, you guys would come on, and, of course, they'd always mention Cafe Valentino's. Everything's Cafe Valentino's. You got to go there. Everybody's there. And would you guys perform there? Because I would go in there, but I would sneak in there because I was underage. But
man, I don't know if we ever were actually on the bill to perform there. But we were always there.
You guys were there, right?
Yeah, we were always on the mic.
It was just the guys there.
Anytime they were kind of just very open with their use of their microphones. So anybody that could grab it, and we definitely took full advantage of that. So, and I remember, that was the scene right there. A lot of us sharpened our skills there, and After Dark, or was it The Groove over there over there? I was like,
Puck Sally?
The one that was by, over by
World
Best
Cafe.
Buy is. Yeah, World Cafe.
World Cafe.
Right. Yeah, that whole spot. Yeah.
Right.
Before that, right. Way, way back. Yeah.
And that's where, you open for everyone that's pretty much come down at concert. Like when Wu-Tang came down,
that was a
World
big,
Cafe.
That was a big one. The Roots. I remember that. That was still Humanakas. That was our biggest concert for sure. Like as far as us as a crew, and I remember it was the hype was so crazy. It was like I think Wu-Tang Forever just dropped.
Yeah.
And everybody was on board with Wu-Tang. You know, before 36 Chambers, it's like some people were on board. Right. They were still underground. But like by that time, everybody was on board. So that
it was just big melee vibe. That magnitude, right?
And we had our new tape. It was 96. So we had just released our Humanaka's cassette.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're hyped. We're like, oh, we got a tape. We got an album. We're like throwing out cassettes at the Wu-Tang show.
Yeah.
But like midway through our show, crowd is like, woo. Tang, woo, Tang's getting louder and louder, and we're like rapping our whole set. You know, we're trying to like get our songs out there.
Right.
We're like, this is our biggest stage we've ever.
Right.
But we persevered. You know, we went through the whole set regardless.
You went through it.
Motherfuckers were throwing the tapes back at us on stage. It was fucked up, man. Yeah, but you know, that's just part of the experience. You know, that's if we didn't make it through that fire, we wouldn't have kept going. You know,
like, exactly.
Yeah.
What was the best concert you opened for?
Oh man, that's.
Since they're throwing tapes at your Wu-Tang, I wouldn't think it'd be that one. But
yeah, you know, it's probably got to be that, honestly.
Because of the magnitude.
ODB was there, dude. Yeah. That's probably the greatest performance I've ever seen.
For the fact that they're all there. Yeah.
He's insane, dude. Yeah. His performance, his stage presence is just...
That was an insane concert. Man. Never forget that one. Worst concert you ever opened for?
Probably the Wu-Tang Clan.
There we go, exactly.
Best concert I've seen. Worst concert we ever played. I mean... Yeah, it is what it is. It was an experience that we had to go through, you know.
I mean, Humanaka's withstanding, and even you as a solo performer, I mean, it's really the gamut through the years. I mean, we've got Far Side, you mentioned. DMX, you opened for?
Nah.
Was that DMX?
No, I think that was on bass. Down? Wasn't that on bass or
was
something?
Was that a bass? That was
yeah,
a bass
I didn't go to okay, that one. I wasn't at that one.
I wasn't sure of that one. Big Sean, were you a part of?
Yeah, that was my last show here on the islands, my last big one. That was 2013. I came back from the mainland for that one. But like before, yeah, it would be like Wu-Tang, you know, Red Man. That's, I'm trying to think, like with Invisible Ink, after Humanox's Invisible Ink, we had the Souls of Mischief at the Wave.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. So Invisible Ink was our crew after Humanox's kind of fell apart or whatever. We broke up. The crew just, I don't know, we just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore. Yeah, I mean, I still love all those guys. They're my brothers. But at that time, we just couldn't work together. So I broke off. I took Ha'o with me. I took Mr. Rios with me. And we started Invisible Ink. And that was 1998.
Yeah.
And then,
the Upper Hand EP.
Upper Hand EP, yeah.
Let's bring this into the shot here.
Oh, we got that?
I found it. I looked through the crevices, and I got it. I mean, as you can... I don't know if it can show up in the shot, but the old Cinerama,
yeah, man,
is in there, and
you got a lot of old school,
a lot of characters.
You got Fame One in there.
Shout out Fame One.
You got Sizer. You got Casper. Danny One.
Danny
got,
One's in here.
You know Malala.
This is as street as it's gonna get. We got the sticker on the cover here.
Yeah,
but.
Danny One actually, you
Shout
know,
he, Danny One
he was one of the first guys that gave us a studio to record. And, you know, actually, I recorded a song with AC Alone at his studio.
Yep.
It was like me, I think Kilowatts the Mongoose.
That's correct, yes.
And Fungi.
We played that on the show.
We played that when Jamal was on the show, yes.
Oh, man.
When Jamal was on.
For the Jamal episode, which is a wild and woolly one, as it is. But this, being that this is 20 years ago, still by this excellent EP, and I'm so glad I found this day to bring this out with you. And there's a one track on here that I still love. I'm great that I could hear this again. It was El Diablo.
Oh man, yeah, I love
and
that.
And it's a classic track. And it was this available like on. It's hard to find even just the audio of this.
Right, I don't think it's on YouTube.
It's
or
not on
nobody's
the,
posted that.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I know the a few joints off the next EP with Sleepwalkers and.
Yep.
From Walkman Classic, people posted that.
So that's one that had Pure.
Yeah, Pure.
Yeah.
And that was crazy because I just saw recently the comments on there. People were like, this is that Pure hip hop. And they're commenting from like 6 months ago. And they're like just hearing it for the first time. So that's pretty cool. Like 20 years later, you know, still messing with it. So
well, I got to go with since you talked about the reincarnation of Humanaka as you moved into and evolved to Invisible Ink. All the name changes. You've had through the years.
Oh, yeah, man.
Now, give us an idea of what led you to do that and what was the reasoning behind that.
I don't know, man. I feel like I kind of shot myself in the foot, man. I feel like every time I built up a fan base, I, like, lost them. Like, I was like, okay, I'm this guy now. And people were like, who? They don't remember, even when I went from Immerse, I had a good buzz off of Immerse from when I went solo after Invisible Ink, I was Immerse. That was, like, 2003. You know, we had the, you know, Honolulu went crazy. And then... my next project, I just decided to go with my real name, Tasho Pierce. So I'm sticking with that. That's just who I am.
It's
so,
a sick name. Yeah. I don't even know why. I mean, it's just a unique name, and you got the Pierce in there. You know, it's always like a strong. I mean, because let's go with the evolution of your names. Now you started out as Tasho.
Well, you might have to
Akira 8.
You might have to ask Gizo. He might know something that I even.
There's
forgot.
More that you forgot already.
I don't know. I think I was Flux P H L U X. That was that was an old name, old school name. I remember. I only know because I had it tagged on my old rhyme books, and I remember I was like Doc Strange at one point, and then I became Doc. I think it was Dr. Octopus? I don't know. It's so stupid. It was Dr. Octopus. Like, come on. What am I doing? I was Dr. Then I finally, at least I changed it before we started Humanakas. I was still Dr. Octopus. I think I was still Dr. But by Invisible Ink, I was Akira 8. What was that? Giza, what was I? What was I on? It was Doc Strange? I was Doc Ock. Yeah, it was Doc Ock on Humanakas. Yeah. No one even knew because we were just Humanakas. Nobody knew who any of us were. Just we were there.
All these aliases. That was a thing though back in the day. Everybody was AKA something, right?
Yeah. I Noodles.
Really? Was that it?
No. It was okay. Wu-Tang.
Just right? I'm just saying. I wouldn't have guessed it at this point. Fooled me. So then, okay, let's talk about Immerse. So what happened? The transition from Invisible Ink to Immerse. What went on there?
I don't know, man. I just felt like I just had. I was always in the studio. And I was getting in more than everybody else. So I was like, man, I might as well just work on my own project. Yep. So I did that. And Size was back home at that point.
Yep.
And I had Mr. Rios there. He laced a few tracks. And, of course, we had, you know, man, that first album, High Chief on there, rest in peace.
Rest
he
in
was
peace,
like our
yes.
big brother, man, coming yep. up. Like, nobody fucked with us because High Chief was in our corner. We had Big Dave there. Anybody, like,
big
step
Dave,
up?
Yes.
And even there's a lot of just...
The big, funnest guys.
Big homies that, like, held us down even, at numerous occasions. And they were one of them. And he came through and killed it on Fire. And then, you know, of course, who else was on there? It was pretty much all Size on there. Size and Mr. Rios on the beats.
Yeah.
And Honolulu ended up being in the breakout track. We ended up shooting a video. I think it's actually the 15-year anniversary of the video because I think we did it a year after. 2003 was the album. Video came out in 2004, so it's 15 years. That was a big deal because I remember, like, it was kind of big budget. You know, we had the cars in there.
Yeah,
shout to
that was the biggest Hawaii hip hop video budget of all time.
You know what it was? It was probably like $7,000.
Wow,
you know?
that's
a lot of money.
You get a lot going for
a lot of
Hawaii hip hop video.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe a little bit more, but we had. Shout to brother Dave Revolution. You know, he had the car, so of course I'm like rapping in front of the Revolution Motorsports sign in the video because
you took it there. You really went all angles to really push that out there. And
the crazy part, one of the things I really remember from that video was we had a helicopter, and that was the big fucking deal. We had a helicopter with an aerial shot of me on top of Diamond Head putting the H up like
that's
this.
That's right.
And then the crazy part about that is like. We were running behind schedule. We hit traffic. I was driving to Diamond Head, and we had enough money to rent the helicopter for 1 hour, and it was like 45 minutes at that point. And the helicopter was like coming back around, and I ran up Diamond Head like full speed, and like Ha'o even ran behind me. He was like my you know holding me down like Samwise, you know what I mean? Like he was like ran up the mountain with me, and we got up there, and by the time I got like to where the tourists are past all the stairs, you get to like the tourist lookout area, I could already see the helicopter coming. It's like and I was like, man, we got to get this shot, so I jumped over the barrier, I ran out onto like the ridge, boom, threw up the H, and then we got the shot, and that was it. Like it was like the last second, you know.
It worked.
Otherwise, we would have had to pay. We would have went over budget, and we probably wouldn't.
Was that the entire $7,000 budget? This helicopter,
pretty much the helicopter.
$6,000 of the $7,000. Jesus. Yeah. So, Flip the Bird Entertainment did that
spawn from the Immerse? Yeah, that was that was the record label that I released the music under from the release party at the Wave. That was the first time I put out some merch. So that was our, you know, it was originally just a merch brand for the label.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, oh, man, we started selling way more T-shirts than we're selling CDs. So we're just, okay, we got to put out some more shirts and more shirts. And then I remember the first thing I did was I took the shirts to Kix Hawaii. and they were still upstairs, like Kicks Hawaii Lalo. Yep. And I talked, that's the first time I met Ian. Yep. Super cool legend, you know, like streetwear scene out here. So he told me first thing, he's like, okay, yeah, this is cool, but you need, you gotta have your own tags. Cause I still had like the Hanes blanks tags on there. Yep. So, okay, figure that out. Went and got some tags, got them put on there, put it in there, you know, started doing really well. Talk with Todd and those guys at Information, who I already knew from Borders, because he was carrying our records. Every time Borders, I had vinyl, I would take it to Todd, and he would sell our vinyls over there. So when he started Information, brought them, and then it started going and going. It got to the point where, I mean, like, I think like 90% of the people that wore Flip the Bird, they had no idea that we were a record label or about me or any kind of music. Right. It was just like, they like the logo, they like the colorways, things like that. So that was really cool. I took that brand and I put it in my backpack, and I basically, I think I went, it was like Diamond or it was like Crookston Castle. I went to their website and I looked at the doors that they were selling their t-shirts in. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to all these stores.
Yeah,
I like this brand. I want to be in the same stores as this brand.
Yeah.
So I went to Boston, I went to Bodega with a backpack, I went to Ubik in Philadelphia with a backpack, you know, I went to like Union in New York. I didn't make it in Union, but I did make it in Bodega, I made it in Ubik, you know, bunch of different stores, and then eventually, you know, kept growing and growing till our biggest point before we came crumbling down. This is kind of, you notice there's a trend here. Everything kind of eventually comes crumbling down. Like all this, I build it up, crumble it down.
There's something.
But yeah. So but so anyways, we were in like 130 stores with Foot Action, and that was like our biggest point. And then we were doing you know, the agenda and the trade shows, and for whatever reason, I think it was more just along the lines of when I moved from Hawaii, it was just hard. The brand, everything was connected to Hawaii. And when I was left Hawaii, I was just kind of uninspired to do the clothes as much. And yeah, I was just kind of, but now that I'm back, I'm getting the itch again. You know, I may drop a few pieces here and there, you know.
Wait, how long have you been back?
I just got back in December, man. My son, Johnny Taru, was born. He was born in December of a year. So he's 1.5 now. So we moved back when he was a year old.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was stoked on that, man. That's the best, biggest blessing, man. It was like,
congrats, you know, on that, man.
Thank you, dude.
Unreal.
Unreal, dude. I wasn't even planning on coming back at any moment. I was just kind of living up there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been there for eight years before I came back, so yeah.
Wow, it's been that long you've been away.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, crazy, right?
And well, before your return, there was a lot of albums in between through the mid 2000s, going into the 2010s. Collabed with Evidence.
Yeah,
the collaboration album with Evidence.
Shout Expansion Team, Rocka, man, Babu. You know, the first guys that, you know, showed. Gave me kind of a little bit co-sign as Beat Junkies. We had Redmatic on the Rhyme and Punishment.
Yeah.
Did two tracks. And then when it came time for the next project, I had, you know, Evidence on there, Rocka on there. Babu actually produced like four tracks on the opening act. So it was kind of almost like that project was like kind of like a Expansion Team co-produced. Yeah. Kind of like, you know, when Ice Cube first came out, he had Public Enemy?
Lynch Mob?
Public
Bomb Squad.
Yeah, Bomb Squad produced Ice Cube, right, when he first came out. So it was like,
that was an
like,
expansion, right?
Yeah, it was like, so it was kind of like we had a already established crew, like kind of just helping us, guide us.
Right.
To kind of like, yeah. And then with that project, that was kind of the big single from that was Ev. And that was just such a blessing to have him. First of all, laced me with the beat, and then he came with a fire verse, you know? So, like, man, I got love for those guys forever. And then Rocka, of course, took me on tour later on, way down the road when I was on his album, Crown of Thorns. So that's actually, that was the first thing I did after I left was I jumped on with him to do that.
Right, because the Emerce kind of led you to all of the more mainland acts, and it built. And, well, I mean, further led to... working with Kid Cudi.
Yeah, that was, Kid Cudi was actually, that's when they were here, you know, that's when they were in Hawaii.
Right.
That's when Kanye.
Was Kanye had the studio?
Yeah. Was that the Twisted Fantasy album they were doing up here?
Yeah, so I was, you know, my connection with Kanye began when they came out for the Touch the Sky tour. I was the only opening act for that show at the Blaisdell. And that was probably the biggest show we had ever done, most likely. You know, and we were just super hype. Of course, Ha-O had my back. Sides was there. Mr. Rios was there. I remember coming off the stage, we all had our Flip the Bird shirts. We had these animals with X's in the eyes. It was like big print. And then Kanye was kind of peeking through the curtains when we came off. He's like, oh, man, I like those shirts. And I was like, oh, man, dude, Kanye, man, you're a legend, dude. I have so much respect for you. I got some shirts. I was super nervous. I got some shirts.
Well, of course.
More nervous than I usually. Like, usually the crazy thing about how I was the Flip the Bird took off and how we had, like, so many artists wearing it and building connections was, like, you know, like we said, I was the opening act. But if I was just stepping to every, like, hip-hop artist, like, yo, man, I got bars, man. You got to listen to my raps, man. I'm tight. Listen to my CD right here. I would have no shot. No feedback. They're just like, shut me down.
Yeah.
But I would always be like, hey, man, I got this clothing brand. I got a couple shirts here, man. I'd love to lace you with this. And then, like, I remember, like, people like Method Man, boom, he just takes the shirt off, puts the shirt on right there. RZA, after the show, you know, like, boom, he just throws the shirt on. Luckily, they're all sweaty. After they perform, you give them a clean shirt, boom, it's like
good
automatic.
Strategy.
And then, so that's the same thing I did with Kanye, is I gave him, and this is something I never told anybody, like, I gave him the shirt, I gave him some hoodies, and then I had my CD, it was the Welcome to High State mixtape, and it's like, and I forgot to give it to him, and I was already outside. And my man, Aaron's brother, Bubba, was with me, and he had already gotten to like a little bump, something with Kanye's bodyguard. So we got kicked out after we opened up. And I was like, man, I got to get the CD. And I went back and I was like, I got to give the CD to Kanye. So I just opened up, and the security lady, I remember her, she was like, I'm sorry, they said you can't go back there anymore. And I was like, man. And you were talking about crying earlier. I mean, almost was on the verge, but I needed to get the CD to Kanye. I didn't cry, but I was like, she probably saw a little bit of like, oh man, this guy's about to cry. So she's like, you know what? I'll give it to him. And then I didn't know if he had it or not. But then, like, a few months later, he's performing at Wango Tango, and he's rocking our 90s All-Stars T-shirt. It was, like, on MTV, and it was the biggest, like, cosign that we had as a brand.
Yeah.
And then they came back for 808s and Heartbreak, okay? So this is probably, like, 2008, I want to say, maybe? Sounds
about right.
2008, 2009. Yeah. So they're back, and they're in the studio. I go out to the studio. I find out through somebody that they're there. I drive out to Hawaii Kai, got my box of shirts, knock on the door. Who comes to the door? Fucking Graves, Christian Mochizuki, legendary producer right now. So he that's how I met him. He was an engineer out there. It was Avex at the time.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, let me see what I can do, man. I don't know. You got some shirts, okay. And he takes them in. He's like, oh, yeah, you can come in. So they let me back in. I go in there. Give out shirts. I meet the whole crew. You know, he's out there with his whole crew recording 808s and Heartbreaks. I give them all shirts, and then it's like time to bounce. And then I was like, you know, just hanging around for a little bit. I was like, yo, you guys need anything while you're on the island? Just hit me up. You know, I'm gonna help you guys out, whatever you need. And then I was like, oh man, I forgot a couple shirts. This guy needed a medium. This guy needed a small. I was like, oh man, I didn't bring any of those, but I can come back tomorrow and bring some more shirts. So of course, the boom, next day, come back. Turns out, like, I'm pretty much there most of that whole time they were there. I think they were there for about 6 weeks doing 808s and Heartbreak. So I was almost there every day with them. And just being behind the scenes and seeing the direction that he was going to. Right. He just did Graduation, which is the biggest album in the world. He beat 50 Cent in sales. Yeah. And then he went totally, you know, his mother passed away. He was really emotional. And he came with this crazy album where he's singing. And, you know, like, everybody around him is like, man, it's kind of nervous when an artist that established is going to make a whole new direction. But he's, you know, as we all know, the album was unreal and super good. And we were all, you know, a part of that kind of. I was not really in the main room at that point. I was just on the couch in the lounge area. I wasn't really allowed to go into the actual studio. But I was just part of the crew, you know. I was, like, with them. A lot of that time I got to meet those guys. And then after Ye would dip out, then, like, Plain Pat, those guys, Jeff Basker, those guys, and Christian, of course, they would let me go in the main room and we post up. And then one day, Malik Youssef, who's my brother, man, my guy who gave me the most opportunities and somebody that I write with and to this day and big inspiration for me, he comes up and he says, yo, you rap, man? Because they just thought I was like, you know, I give him clothes and stuff.
It's
like
a
that.
Guy.
Yeah, right. Like, what you need? Like, right, I was that guy. Like,
that guy.
But anyways, so they were, you rap? I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, I want you to bust something for me right now. And I did this verse. This verse actually ended up on this new project. I just never used it, but it's on the new album coming out. And then he said, oh, that's dope, man. Why don't you come back tonight? I want you to record for my album. So I came back. So hype. And this ended up being Fresh, Cool, Dope, Fly from his album, which had, you know, his debut had, you know, Common, had Adam Levine, Kanye, everybody was on his first album. I was on there with him. And Kanye had heard that. He's like, oh, what happened with Tasha? We did a verse or some shit? Like, so they listened to it after and they're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of dope. And then I got another kind of, this was actually, you know, I'm tripping. This was actually when they came back. This is Dark Twisted Fantasy at this point. I was still on the couch. Okay. I was still not allowed in the main room, but this was the breakthrough moment where they actually saw me as like, okay, he's kind of dope. So, and then I remember this, like, yeah, he came. I was just, I'd be sitting out there. I'd be writing too, because everybody else is writing. I'm like, well, I'm going to write some rhymes too. Even if I'm not like, they're going to use it, but I'm like, I'm hearing the dopest beats in the world.
Right.
Like, I might as well get some inspiration off of it. And you know, who knows what it could be.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you writing? Oh yeah. Why don't you come in? We're about to bounce some ideas. Kanye just said that to me. He's like, fuck yeah, dude. Go in the room, man. It ended up being on Rick Ross's album. It was Live Fast, Die Young. And I was just in there, and like, I don't even know if I got, I know I didn't get any bars on it, but I was like in the room, and I was in the fucking room. You know what I mean? I was in the room, and everybody was in there. Dude, it was the craziest, it was the greatest experience I could ever imagine as a hip hop artist to be with those guys, like, you know, Q-Tip's there, Pete Rock's there, and of course Big Sean, Cuddy, you know what I mean? The whole camp is there, and I was like in there with them, and it was just, bruh, I didn't make a lot of money off of this shit. Like, I never blew up super big, you know, like but that experience is like I could just, you know, totally satisfied with that. I'm like, don't need anything else besides that. Those experiences are so priceless to me, and you know, like, gave me confidence in myself as an artist. You know, for them to, like, let me bounce ideas with them and really be a part of that was like just the biggest blessing in the world. And then, you know, recording. This is a crazy thing. I don't know if I told this story either. So Satellites, right?
Oh,
produced by No ID.
Yeah.
This is during 808s and Heartbreak. It didn't come out to 2016. As we all know, Dark Twisted Fantasy came out 2010. So I sat on it for a minute. But it was the way that happened. I'm in the studio and No ID is like looking. I'm every day. I'm in there. He looks at my shoes. He's like, yo, Tasho, man, you got what kind of, he's like, you always got some dope shoes, man. I was like, oh, right now I'm No ID. And he's like, man, what size you wear? Oh, man, size 11. He's like, oh shit, man, I'm gonna be. He's like, they're out there for 6 months, you know, for Dark Twisted. So they were there for a long time.
Right.
He's like, man, I could use some kicks, man. You down to sell me some pairs? I was like, oh hell yeah, dude. So I go into my collection, and then every day after that, I bring like 10 pairs of shoes out to the studio, and Kanye and Don C are like looking through the shoes. Every time they look through it, they're like, no, I don't keep this. I'll keep this shit. And I was giving him gems, like heat. Like, I'm talking about Tiffany Dunks. Hey, I'm talking about, like,
shout out Tiffany Dunks.
Talk about the Cause Vans, the low cause Vans,
you know,
the Simpsons ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm talking about, like,
talk shoes
serious
on
like heat, yo, serious heat, man. Yeah. And, like, I wasn't just coming with no bullshit. And by the end of it, yeah, like probably 10 pairs of like my best shoes. And actually, this is a crazy thing. I had actually scored a pair of the Yeezys when they first dropped at Kicks Hawaii. And I was just, no, dude, I love shoes. I'm a sneakerhead. But at the same time, I got a chance with No ID. I was like, man, I offered it to No ID.
There you go. Wow.
I offered it to No ID. And he probably already had a pair. You know what I mean? But I'm just giving him any opportunity I can. And then he's like, at the end of the day, he's like, so how you want me to pay for this? I was like, oh, man, No ID, man. I'm a big fan of your album, man, because I knew No ID when he was a rapper. Like, I didn't know him, but I had his tape, you know. Like,
right.
I was like, man, let me get a verse from you, No ID. And he's like, No ID's like, oh, man, no, I don't rap anymore, but I'll give you a beat. And I was like, fuck, yeah. And then he gives me the CD with 5 beats on it. Oh, and
there you go.
That song originally is called Higher. Because I go, right now, I'm so high, I could almost touch the sky. And so I have a version of that with just 3 verses and the hook. But when I laid the verse, I was actually, everybody was gone at that point, and No ID was there. So I went to Avex. No ID produced it. He's like, yo, put that verse, 3rd verse first. Like, he was in the room with me. Christian was there.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So so I laid that. That was the first version of Satellites. Oh. This is before Cudi.
Right, right.
And then playing that song Circulates. I've been even driving around, like, I'll be driving around with the crew. Even Kanye is driving in my RAV4. And when you hear that line, what you think I rap for, push the fucking RAV4. I was the one. I was driving everybody in my RAV4, dude. I was like, thanks a lot, Kanye, man. Thanks a lot for that. But yeah, that was my RAV4, dude, straight up. But we were actually driving in the RAV4, and Kanye would be singing that fucking song. Like, even in the studio, I'd be sitting there, and Kanye walk around the corner. I hear him like, right now I'm so high, I could... And he made me play that shit for L.A. Reid in the studio. Like, it was this close to, like, I don't know if he wanted to use it or what the deal was, but it ended up just being my song. And then at the end of the day, I was like, I got Cudi. I got Cudi to jump on it. Cudi. Okay, and that was it, you know. Once I got Cudi on there, I was like, man, I'm gone. You know what I mean? I got Cudi on. This is crazy. He blessed me, man. That's when he came out there.
Right, so speaking of this, and because I know there's all kinds of stuff that's unreleased, and We're gonna freeze. You ready for this? We're gonna play some tracks here that we just happened to obtain from the gentleman DJ Drama.
Oh shit!
And we're gonna just we're gonna play a couple snippets of them, and we're gonna see if you remember some of these tracks. So we'll play a couple here. Freeze. What we got?
Oh man! Yes. Sounds slow. Mush Mouth. Yeah, man.
What's the year on this one?
It's that Aloha Friday. Shaka Bat. Yeah, man. This is, we were dropping a song after when Dark Twisted Fantasy, they had Good Fridays, and they were dropping a song every week. So I kind of took the inspiration off that, did Aloha Fridays, and every week dropped a song for about 13 weeks. We were dropping it on 2 Dope Boys, a big platform at the time, and it was a cool opportunity to put, you know, some of the younger homies on. Not Mush was already pretty much established, but like even some of the young. This is when Qualified was first starting. I put him on a track with Copyright. You know, of course, I had to get the young homie Pre. Man, Pre was
shout out Pre.
Yeah, you know, we did all these songs every week, and it was that was a really dope time because we were just all in the studio creating. We had to knock out a song in a week and. Even mostly crazy. In a day. It was like you had to get the song done in a day, pretty much. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Freeze, what else we got? What are surprises here?
Oh, man, is that Kimo James? Oh, my brother, man. I love Kimo James,
shout
man.
Out Kimo James.
Yo, when I moved to Vegas, Kimo was there for me, man. Like a real, real homie, man. Like, he held me down, dude. Like, when I was out there, I was like, the reason we moved to Vegas is like, We wanted to get a house. We couldn't afford shit here. So when I moved there, I needed to get a job, basically. I didn't have no records of being employed for like 10 years. I was like,
I had my
Flip the Bird.
You're an artist.
I had my Flip the Bird.
Right.
But I never paid myself, dude. All the money just went right back into it. So I was like, this guy's not going to be able to qualify for shit. So he was working at Y3 at the time. I came in there, and I had experience like hustling. Whatever I needed to sell, I could sell from, you know, just being out here.
Yeah.
So he gave me a position as a salesperson at Y3 in Caesars. I was like, okay, man, I just needed something. As soon as I touched down, I need a job. I need to get on paper. I need to be able so I can qualify. My plan was in 2 years to get a house, you know, so I needed to start somewhere. So that's what I did. And I worked with him, you know, at Caesars, top sales every month. You know what I mean? Like, man, that's easy though, man. You sell if you're selling stuff on the streets and you go into an environment like that, it's like they're not used to this type of hunger.
They don't know that hustle. Well, let's fast forward to now. Let's go look at you have a new project.
Man, can I play something from that? Can I play something? I got something that I would like to premiere. Can I premiere it right
are
now?
Are you going to perform this too? Or
no,
or we're just going to play this? Let's do this for the break here. Okay. Or do we have the... Why don't we take a break first and then we'll just go... We'll play it before you perform.
Okay.
So we can get that set up.
Yeah, man.
So let's get that going on.
I want to preview something for the
So let's go here tonight. Yeah, why don't we take a break here and then we'll set up because you're going to be performing live and you're going to be, I guess, previewing this. We didn't know this was going to happen. From new album, what's the name of the new album?
It's H.I. Story.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, but then we're also going to go with the legendary Honolulu to see that live.
Of course, man.
You ready
for
that?
You need, brother.
I mean, El Diablo if you can, but you can't.
Man.
Sorry, we can just play it in the background.
You don't want me to rap over the lyrics,
but it's
man.
Such a hot jam. All right, let's take a break. Tasho Pierce, ladies and gentlemen, good times. Right. Let's take a break. Sleep time's over.
Yeah.
Don't you go anywhere. Sleep time's over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
Black Keedra. Yes. There we are. All right. And as we got sake going on here, Sky. You're right with this?
I was partaking.
Yeah. You're partaking in this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's get right. Doesn't sake, isn't that something that can just continue for days with the sake, right? Just water. Or you can just shoot it like Freeze does, but that's nor here nor there. So our next guest... Before we all just get drunk, let's bring him on in right now because he is an actor, he's a model, he's a hardcore UH football fan, he's just a sports nut. We get to talk about sports finally. Let's get going. Let's welcome Wayne Coito. Where are you at? Yeah. Here we go. Yes. Oh. Double fisted is what they say. Okay. Yeah. And how's that intro? This is the first non-rap intro we've had on the show, so you make that stat, Wayne.
I mean, I got to do it for you. You said
okay,
you're an
Angels
guy.
There you go.
He dedicated that one to you, Angels
was,
fan.
Yes. That's during the opening before the game starts, right? They play that video before we lose like 8-0. Or we have like a 5-0 lead and we blow it in the ninth with shit relief pitching. Okay, but fresh off of the Rams-Cowboys game, right? You were there?
Oh,
you
I've been too far too close. I don't want to be
too
close.
Yeah, a little closer.
Just get closer to the mic. So you got things dropping around. We're up.
Sure.
Yeah, so how was the preseason game?
Actually, I'm not a fan of preseason at all, but
no one should be.
I enjoyed it because it was a cool day for Hawaii. I think people here really love football, so it gave them a chance to feel a part of the NFL. And a lot of people on the mainland, they know like Texas is football and the South and certain places, but Hawaii, I mean, we have a huge passion for it. So it was just nice to see people. Of course, there was all kinds of jerseys on display, but lots of Cowboys.
Right.
Rams are still developing a fan base. But honestly, it was a good day for Hawaii. And I think it sparked even more debates about the stadium. So I think like any kind of events, it always leads to the greater good for Hawaii as well.
Do you have a favorite NFL team?
I mean, I'm a Rams. I'm financially invested in the Rams. I grew up, I was a Chiefs fan all my life. I still am a Chiefs fan, but it's hard because I give so much money to the Rams now, so I got
really?
To stick with them.
The money just brought you into the.
I grew up in Hawaii. We never have a team, so I had to financially stake myself in a team when I got in LA. The Rams came to me. I didn't have to do anything.
Wow, that's true. Wow,
so,
I like how you financially go to the teams. I like that. I've never heard that
for
before.
Sure.
We're financially going to
emotionally, I'm invested now as well, for sure. It's been nice to be a part of something from at least 2.0 version of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you're definitely vested because you're been to four Super Bowls.
Four Super Bowls.
What are the four you've been to?
49, 50, 52,
Jesus.
Or 53. Or 50. Yeah, 49, 50, 52, 53. This last one too. Yeah.
Wow, you're on a streak with that, and then
yeah, it's cool.
That
was just
unreal.
Something that, you know, that it's just a dream of mine. Like, you know, things that you want to do as a kid growing up and something that never left me, I guess, as I got older or was supposed to be getting older and more mature and not.
Who knows what
about
that means?
Things, so.
Right. It's overrated.
Yeah,
but
totally.
You got to four Super Bowls, three NBA Finals games?
Two NBA Finals, yeah.
Two NBA
and
Finals
both
games.
Clinching games, too, so.
Really?
And actually, one World Series I went to was a clincher, too, was when the Astros beat the Dodgers. So I went to that game, too. Last year, I went to Cleveland to see LeBron lose to the Warriors. And then this year, I was there for Oracle last game.
Wow.
To see, yeah. So it was awesome to be there, for sure.
Just the traveling. I mean, and we even can shout out, we've never even talked about this ever on the show, tennis.
Yep.
You actually went to...
All four majors,
the
yeah.
majors of tennis. So
went to Australia.
Let's see if I... Australian Open.
Paris for the French.
Wimbledon. Wimbledon, U.S.
Then
Open.
I went to U.S. Open.
Ooh, that's a trivia question, right? So, yeah. Unbelievable. But then the kicker here, the streak of them all is you got your UH football streak.
Yep.
That I was told very prominently by many people. The people of Hawaii, they're saying, make sure Wayne talks about 45 games in a row here.
Now, it's kind of just like, yeah.
It's a streak here. Shout out Goldberg. Wrestling reference. So, okay, 45 straight. What started this? How did this begin?
It's funny. You know, okay, so UH football basically is my life, you know, and I think
right.
UH, because it's two things that I love, right? Hawaii and football. So if you combine them together, you get Hawaii football. And I think just a lot of memories. My friend Brad, who's here as well, a lot of our memories of our teenagehood, of our middle school years, of sneaking on the field, going to Lowe Stadium, that all is in my history. And when I became an adult,
right.
I kept going, got season tickets, and eventually the worst game in UH history is when the streak began, which is ironic. It was 48-0. We lost to Air Force. It was Halloween 2015, so I haven't missed a game.
Was that the Norm Chow era?
That was Norm Chow.
Wow,
so that was
shout
his
out
last
Norm
game.
Chow.
That was his last game, actually.
Oh, got it. Yeah. And shout out to a friend of the family, Sean Iman.
Yes, yes,
for,
definitely.
He's a Norm Chow supporter to the day he dies. So he's
I don't
he
know about
him.
A supporter.
At least, he's been to at least 69 Norm Chow games. So, yeah. So the streak just kept going because I'm going and because
yeah,
you just
like,
kept
you
going.
Know, I like traveling.
That's really it.
You know, it's a place. Traveling, to me, sports is really a utilitarian thing. It's like you can, it's a cross between traveling, especially when you're going to games, traveling, being in a group, being in a community, and, you know, we have politics. I mean, I think those issues are important because that's what they bring to the forefront. Sports is a place where these things can be. And for me, after college, particularly, like, I stopped playing. I didn't want to coach. I didn't want to, it wasn't football. I played basketball and volleyball, actually. But I just, you know, football has been... is a Hawaii thing. It's in our blood. It's in our grandparents' and parents' blood. So I think that was just passed down to me, too. But it just happened. And, you know, a part of the streak is crazy. Australia was in that streak.
Right.
Michigan
right.
Michigan was after Australia. So I had to fly from Australia
that's right.
to
they,
Michigan.
They really screwed over UH
that
year.
Yeah,
that
was crazy.
Huh? What the fuck are they going to make them go to Australia and go to Michigan?
It was awesome, though, going to Sydney and
so
we went
ridiculous.
To New Zealand before that.
Right.
So it was cool. It was fun.
Was there ever a time where the streak was in jeopardy? We're like, I don't know if I'm going to make this game.
Surprisingly, it hasn't been. And you know what? In the same span of time, like, I've had Rams season tickets for the last, you know, since they came back to L.A., and I've missed tons of games, like, usually going to UH games, or I'll have to work. Like, people don't realize this.
That's
I actually
right.
work during the Chiefs-Rams game, which is a huge game.
He does have a job, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
So, It's funny, like UH, I think the universe or whoever knows that I got to be at those games. So I've been able to make it, and
wow.
I've been told that 50 by some of my friends this year, when it gets there, will be in Reno. So what a place to celebrate 50, of course, would be in
good luck for that
Reno,
one.
Nevada. But
wow.
Yes, we'll
of course, great. You need to get to 69. That's just
oh,
a running.
For sure. 69 is when I'll stop. For sure.
It's a running.
I'll just do it twice.
Maybe. Well. So be it. I would say you just, you know, we have a big party for that or something.
Oh, definitely.
Come back on after the 69 definitely, game, yeah. And then we'll go in. Okay, so how could you, you may have heard me earlier, mm-hmm. you know, less, you know, intoxicated, saying that I'm not really a fan of Aloha Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse really to attend the venue. So how would you sell me on getting there?
Well,
for
I
anything,
mean,
really. Would there be a way you could sell me?
God.
Being that you have this streak.
Just going to the stadium.
Just to go and partake in an event, what have you. I mean, you know, Janet Jackson would outstanding, but I'm just saying UH football, what have you. You know, the.
Maybe you'll be there for
mud
the
bog.
Great crumble. I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
you know, good luck that you'll be there when it happens.
Coincidental. You know? Hashtag. I can't even imagine how the stadium is still going on. I mean, the thing when people are clapping, people stomping on the ground, things shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you
well,
seated?
I sit in the first row.
Well, lucky
so
you.
The safest person.
Right. I think you and Iman are over there like one and two.
I've jumped on the field before several times, but
as you
first
should.
I was with that guy when we were 16, actually, in the north end zone. That's when Hawaii beat Fresno, 99, biggest turnaround in history. See, a lot of our memories, that's the thing about this team, too, is a lot of our childhood memories,
right.
Teenagehood memories are all tied to the team. So, I mean, that's a way to count time, too.
Right. Fresno, was that David Carr?
No. That was Volek, actually. That was before David Carr.
Okay.
Who,
got it.
Who, surprisingly, can be on the TV for as many hits as he took to his head. I mean, he seems pretty, you know.
He's still alive.
Has clarity.
You wouldn't think he'd be dead.
No, it's shocking. It's shocking. I mean, they didn't have an offensive line, and they drafted him.
Negative protection.
Crazy.
Right.
So, poor guy. But his brother seems to be doing okay, I guess.
No comment. But I just... being that I've never been to the stadium in so long.
Oh, wow.
And they have the great men's restroom that's known there. Do they still have that trough?
Yes, of course.
They still have that from like 1970 or something? Wow.
It's part of the character of the thing. So, I'll put it this way.
You want to call it character, really? Quite frankly. Right, are we going
back up?
Are we going that back in the day here? I mean,
look, you know, some places are frozen in time. Some places have memories in them. Some places may be collapsing soon, but still, that is the fun of and the joy of going there. I mean, I went on a roller coaster in Vietnam, so it's about the same level of intensity of whether my, you know, putting my, like I said, I'm in the front row.
I mean,
so
quite frankly, okay, fair enough, because you know, after this preseason game, like everybody's getting all excited, like trying to get more NFL teams there. They're trying to build this thing up into a thing. You have the rush of trying to get a new stadium going in like 2023. Yeah. Good luck with that. But they're going to try and do this.
I think, yeah.
Right? That's not going to happen. And they're going to make it like 30,000 seats.
Yeah.
Now, what's your thoughts on this whole situation, being that you're going to be going to this new stadium? Of course.
Yeah.
I actually will go if they build it, but they're not. And what do you think of this whole culmination of this?
I mean,
will this help?
I think it could help. I think the biggest issue with whatever new stadium is who's in charge of it. I think the stadium authority, it was ideal at maybe a time, I guess, but I don't think it's ideal. I think University of Hawaii needs to take over the stadium. I think the PA announcing is really, I mean, outside of the, and I love, I mean, people work so hard, so I'm not like putting down anyway the stadium, but I go to stadiums, you know, I was just stadiums in Japan, Tokyo, Taiwan, this summer, I, you know, go all over the world. And
right.
We're one of the least entertaining, possibly, and most frustrating to deal with staff, to deal with security, to deal with whacking.
You just got soap,
all
right?
Of these, so.
Yeah, I'm just like.
It's rough. It's a lot of love for. Believe me, when you told me, I it's so hard to come up with a pitch, but I'll get back to you with that one. But I just love the team, I guess.
Well, hopefully this gets figured out, and hopefully they turn this and they do it right. And then hopefully what the future plans is, like we talked about this before the show, about having a hotel there.
Yeah.
Or having, you know, retail.
Well, I mean,
things
trying
of that
to centrally plan places. I mean, obviously they've already taken out the old Lot C and built where they're going to put the rail station. And if there's a comprehensive plan behind all of this, which part of me feels that there's probably not. That's what is kind of scary. And what's frustrating is that sports, just like anything, technology, it's moving so fast that we've already, I don't know the guys on the team. I don't know how many stadiums they've been to, and I don't know if they know what the trends are, you know, so that's kind of what's scary, too.
You think we'll ever get a pro team
in
Hawaii?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I'm thinking NFL, probably not, NBA, probably not.
What about XFL? You think we get like an XFL
team? Possibly, if it lasts more than a season.
Really? So if we get an XFL team, okay, so here's the thing I wanted to spring on you. I didn't tell you about this beforehand. I did a makeshift survey with several sports fans, as they call themselves, of if they were to have a pro team in Hawaii, a pro football team what would the nickname be? All right, so and I got several I want to share with you and see if we were going to go with these or not.
I got some.
So, first off, one I got is the Hawaii Rails.
I just like that as the
I don't want to
right sentence.
We don't want to go like the Hawaii Railed or anything like that. That's something else. So I got that one. Go. I got the Hawaii Traffic. Because then they're
Hawaii
quote
choke traffic. Yeah.
Right, because the quote, and this was quoted, is we stop you in your tracks.
There was no. I was expecting a drum roll. Maybe.
Yeah. You expect some vomit or something, right? Diarrhea or something. So yeah, that's the marketing campaign for that one. Then we also got the Hawaii Horseman. Which might be like wrestling slash like apocalyptic at the same time.
Arn Anderson is
right. Wow, Arn Anderson comes out with a flag. There's the flag, and then we have the Hawaii
behind him.
Right, exactly.
Vili and Yokozuna and
just bring him back. Coco Beware would just show up.
Coco Beware, Jimmy.
Wow. Sorry,
just the rest
of a lot of dead wrestlers are just gonna come out of the grave.
We got
a couple more here. We got the shit continues. We got the Hawaii Headhunters, which. Could work, but would that be PC though?
Maybe.
The Headhunters, right? Because yeah, that could be PC enough,
no,
right?
No.
Right, you gotta kind of kitify it. And then we have the Hawaii Wave.
Okay, yeah.
Which, come on. Really?
Which actually was successful at the Rams game on many occasions. So
after the first quarter, right?
It would have been scary for you because they were getting up and down and up and down.
Oh, forget it. That's
there were 50, literally nearly sold out. Like, I was impressed. I've never seen the stadium that way. 2007, probably.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you're not going to see the stadium in one way, but we got one more. The Honolulu Magnums. It's a condom, right? I mean, like, the Honolulu Magnums, I get it. Magnum
PI. Magnum PI, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a trash list. You have anything that comes? This is what was given by the public of Hawaii.
Wow.
Do you have anything?
I feel like, you know what? We get mongoose here, so mongoose, why not, you know? I mean...
Wow, that's a sake I grew talking. Up in,
possibly. That's a sake. So Hawaii, I don't know. Actually, I tried to bring... This is a... When we tried to... I actually got to meet with HGA about 7 years ago and tried to bring a team or talk about a stadium we tried to build in Kalae. Though I don't even know how I got an audience for it, but I guess I was spunky enough to do it. And we came up with Hammerheads, Hawaii Hammerheads.
Okay.
So this was like a joint venture between other people who are in the sports community. Then somehow the guy was like, oh yeah, I know, I guess Mike McIntyre might've been, or whoever was the president of HGA. And we got a meeting and he was, I don't know. I thought it was kind of insane, but
that was in the winter baseball times, right?
No,
wasn't that, you know, like the Kauai.
Ichiro.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember those days, man.
Remember those guys?
Those were good days.
The cane sharks.
Fires, yeah.
Right. Waipahu. The cane fires. That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen again.
No. Hilo Stars. Yeah. I mean, those are good times. And Papelbon played in the league too, so
wow.
Good guys.
That's right. That's right. Well, speaking of baseball, that's the switch gears because you know you are a huge Los Angeles Angels.
That's right.
Of turn on the I-5, go to South Coast Plaza, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, Angels of Anaheim.
Hell yeah.
The longest, stupidest name.
I know, yeah.
You know
Must
mean?
Be longest and stupid. Right. It's funny because you always get the Los Angeles. We're the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles.
Exactly. Right, there you go. That's nice. Okay, so how are you an Angels fan? Are you? What's the? You're a Rams fan because you're financially throwing money out to people. So you throwing out money to Ari Moreno? What
you know, not as much. I mean, I go to a lot of games. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I don't go to all 81 home games, but I go to a good chunk of them.
Yeah.
And I suffer through traffic on the 405 and 22 to get there. But at the same time, like, I think the Angels are emerging. I think they're changing. I think bringing Ohtani, obviously, was a huge – and he fell into our lap, really. And he chose the Angels. And
that was so strange.
Yeah, it was
right?
Really bizarre.
Tell me, you were like, fuck this,
freaked
right?
out. Like, I dropped my phone. I was like, no way. Why would he come here?
Why is he coming here, right?
So apparently he loves
it. They have a trash stadium too. That's kind of not the best.
The stadium is the third oldest,
Irvine,
fourth oldest. Yeah.
Right.
So Orange Tustin, I think, is supposed to be.
Tustin.
Long Beach is one of the places now.
Next to the Irvine Spectrum Mall.
Right next to Spectrum. Right next to the Ferris wheel and everything.
All this OC talk.
Of course.
So
super OC.
When did you become? How long have you been an Angels fan?
It's funny. It's even more crazy esoteric about me. I was a Mormon missionary in Anaheim, as Vietnamese speaking, with refugees there, and I had to learn Vietnamese, and I had
to. You see everyone? You see this guy? This is why we have these gentlemen on. What really?
So yeah,
that's how it led you.
So
to...
So I lived there in Anaheim for 2 years and Garden Grove, that whole area, Little Saigon, is what we call it, because I worked almost predominantly with Vietnamese people, and that was like my introduction to living on the main. Like I was in college in New York, and then I took a break. That's what they make Mormons do: go on, leave college, go on your mission.
Wow! Shout out Book of Mormons. Yeah,
of course.
Great play.
So actually, I'll admit, I was a Nomo. I found some of my old pictures of elementary. I had a Dodger shirt I wore all the time, and I was a Nomo, kind of that whole era, kind of a Dodgers fan. I will admit, but I didn't have the grounding. You know, I didn't know what it meant to be. You know, like in Hawaii, we just pick teams. Like people are like, oh, I'm the fan of the Falcons. Like, have you been to Atlanta? No. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, why are you a fan of them?
Right,
so I wanted like something.
Right. You wanted something
to be like,
true,
yeah,
right? Not
so
like
true.
These jackasses,
like,
right? I got it.
So being in Anaheim, that was my first time getting that. But it's funny because I moved to Anaheim literally, or when I got there, was right after they won the World Series. So like, I wasn't really even a fan yet, and they won the World Series. So I'm just suffering through the rest of it afterward.
One of those.
Which is the irony, yes, of it all.
Right, because then it was after that. Okay, so after what favorite Angels player then? If it was after the World Series, who is your favorite? Since it's a fairly recent era here.
For my era, I mean, obviously Trout is one of my favorite players of all time. But you know, Ohtani, Garrett Anderson was my favorite of that Angel that era for sure.
See, we got Angels fans in this.
Yeah. You know, like I have a Rod Crew jersey.
Abreu,
I didn't get to watch Rod Crew. See, Abreu with a good.
You want
Bobby
Abreu?
Because he was, I was Abreu or
Sean Figgins.
Sean Figgins, yes. Just because the spelling of
Fuentes.
Sean.
You like it? We'll throw out some fucked up people right now. No, we're not. We're not fans of these guys. This is the only chance to talk about Angels right now.
I know. Okay. So, Sean Figgins was a good player, I guess, but I mean, Weaver was it? I mean,
well,
Hamilton.
Weaver?
Are we going to talk about these guys too?
Well, Jared Weaver, all he does is say like "fuck" on the air. Remember that? He always would get busted by swearing on the air. And then Hamilton. Let's not talk about Josh Hamilton.
I'm not
Eric
a fan.
Ibar?
Not
what do you
fan,
think of Eric Ibar?
I loved Ibar. I loved him. I mean, he's a bunt when he used to piss people off and get the first base and stuff on his bunts. He used to pull off all kinds of stuff. So. Those are good times. Those are good times.
Okay, so from that era to then, okay, and then we got the. How many total Angels games do you go a season then?
Not that many. Maybe like 20 something, 30 probably. I mean, I don't go to. There's 81 games, so I can't go to
still
all
yet,
of them.
Though. 20 something is. Come on now.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just go. To me, like, it's just fun, so I just go for fun.
Are you club level or cheap seat guy?
Oh, no, I like so for the Angels. I'm definitely in the ballpark of getting the cheap seats because it's one of the few stadiums. Oh, I mean, I sit. I don't sit in the cheap seats. I mean, I get into the stadium that way. I used to.
Got
people
it.
Give me tickets. I mean, that happens in Angels games all the time. Like, people are like, here, I have a ticket. Or, like, rich Irvine people who are just like, whatever.
Yeah,
go in.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're going to have the freeway series. You're going to have, like, the Yankee games, the Red Sox games. Or you're going to have a lot of people there.
But you know what sucks about these going to Angels games? Wife and I have gone many times because Anaheim is such a tourist destination because Disneyland is there.
Of course.
So you're always going to have the opposing team's fans there.
Always.
It's a fucking stupid, annoying shit. Because then you're going to always be sitting next to that. If we go, let's go to the Angels-Rangers game. Oh, we should have a bunch of Angels fans. No, we sit next to the token Rangers
fans
from Texas. Let's go to the Houston Astros games. We got the Texas Houston Astros fans. What the fuck? You know, we can't be like with our people.
Angels are like the most like docile, like demure fans. Like
they don't
fight back anybody. Be like, F you, fuck you, Angels fans, and we're all like, sorry. Wait, this is our stadium, right?
Right. Oh, they're like so complacent, like calm.
No, like nobody at Angels Stadium does that. Like
like we're going if we're going to a road game, like if we go to play the Giants and then we're going there and I'm standing up and we're like right by the net and we're like standing up and no one is getting up with the Angels people around me.
No.
No one. They're just sitting there just being like docile.
Until the rally monkey
being
comes
nice.
Up, maybe, right?
And then we got that bullshit. And then we got that Buttercup song. You know
they
what?
Don't do the Buttercup song anymore,
they
actually.
Don't do it? Thank God. What do they do now?
They change it up. It's some other...
Send Me an Angel? Or what was that?
No. Call Me All Angels. What song do they do? Honestly, I kind of miss Buttercup. So.
What is the seventh inning stretch song now?
I don't remember.
Really? That's how bad it was.
No, it's bad. I mean, because at least Buttercup, they had the lyrics. People were like participating.
Yeah, and then they blow the lead, and then they lose in the bottom of the ninth.
For sure.
So let's get out of there.
The rally monkey brings us back.
That monkey, get that out of there, too. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not bitter. They lost in a doubleheader. You keep up today? There was a doubleheader today.
The Rangers was doubleheader? Okay.
Yeah, another walk-off. Rangers won again. This is what's going to happen when Sake comes into the play. We're just going to be bitter about baseball right now.
Bitter baseballness. I get it. I mean, 14. I was fortunate in 2014 to get to be there when they clinched, and that was an awesome, cool thing. Trout sprayed me with champagne and beer, and that was cool. So I got you get a few moments, and that's what you live for. You live for those.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was cool.
Do you think Mike Trout is wasting his time in Anaheim since he's only been to the playoff once? Do you think?
No, sometimes I feel like it's a challenge for him. Like I feel like that's what he wants to accomplish, like being there, doing it in Anaheim. So I think it's almost become a thing of him, like proving that he can do it there. But it's hard with no pitching. It's hard. I mean, it's rough. I mean, and he can't control that. He doesn't make personnel decisions. He's not LeBron.
Would you have to, would you have traded him if you were the GM of the Angels? Still keep him.
I'm that jealous. I don't want anybody to have him. He's the greatest of all time, possibly. He's already passed stats of how many Hall of Famers already. It's crazy.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. So let's talk about Hawaii sports fans now. Yeah. What's going on with that for the people that don't know?
Yeah. So about 7 years ago, so it's like, which existential crisis do I want to point to? But I guess probably I'm about to turn 30. What am I going to do? Kind of a thing. I ended up, my parents were like, I don't know if they were just being nice or funny. They're like, you like sports and traveling, make something up. And I was like, that's a great idea. And they were like, wait a minute. Like, that's kind of crazy. But it's been a lot of learning from there. It was something that, I always wanted to do. I always wanted to go to away games. Like, growing up, I was like, man, I wonder what it would be like to go to that stadium.
Travel to the stadium, right.
And, you know, it's just Hawaii sports fans is something that is born out of just my passion for doing it. And my grandmother, like, if you look at my website, my grandmother's a huge inspiration for me because she loved Hawaii football too, and she's taken me when I was a kid, and you know, my memory of being in Times Square watching the UH-BYU game in 2001 and calling her on the phone, and you know, she passed away recently as well, and that's something that for me, you know, it's just natural. I knew it was going to happen, but now UH football becomes even more valuable, even to my whole family. I think people realize like that is a common thread for all of us through our generations. And, you know, whether however you feel about the game or about the NFL or anything, like we can't take away the fact that it's tied to so much of our family time and the time that we spend. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Because growing up on this island, right?
Exactly.
Well, before we go, I just wanted to throw out, what do you think, I mean, it could be stadium withstanding. What do you think UH should do? I mean, it's an ongoing question. Increase the attendance. Get the attendance up. I mean, of course, winning changes things.
Yeah, of course.
Is it the new stadium? Is it getting off of OC-16 and having the games actually shown to people that don't pay whatever the hell cost it is?
Yeah, $350 a season is kind of expensive.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So is that where it lies, is because of the paying for game situation, or what else could UH do?
I think, you know, we have to realize the era and the times, the 70s and 80s, this is a different era. And I think, like, as we, Hawaii, we have our own challenges. But the biggest thing is people are going to be there to be entertained, period. And for me, I make all my, we finally won a road game on a Hawaii Sports Fan Tour, like, two years ago at UMass. Oh. So I'm used to taking people and being like, all right, we got blown out 63-3 to Michigan. Let's have fun the rest of this tour. Yeah. You know, so, like, I realize that I cannot control what happens on the field. I cannot control a lot of that. But what I can control, and what whoever builds a new stadium can control, is the experience of being there, the food. Like, you know, I go to, like, you know.
Yeah, what kind of food they got at Aloha Stadium? What if I were to go in there, what they got? You got L&L?
They used to have Poi Mochi. They don't have anymore. But they have all kinds of Terry Burgers.
Oh, yeah, Mies Petty. What the hell they got in there?
It's funny. I mean, you know, the typical, the huge pizza.
Gravy.
Small kind, that kind of mac salad.
Oh, shit.
Steak plate.
Bro!
Rams game, they actually brought in some other, like, they brought in, like, a Lumpia Express thing or something.
Really?
Pretty cool stuff.
The Rams are into Lumpia.
I guess. I don't know how they got those vendors. So they had more vendors. And that's the thing. I think the biggest thing is, like, you got to make people want to come back. You don't want people feel like they're going to get tetanus or something, right?
So
you want people to come back.
Can we prevent that somehow? Can we sand things down? Or what
I know. I mean, massive sanders.
Can we just have a thing and just put it down there? I mean, that's all I'm saying.
I feel like it. I mean, look, it's time. I get it. When it is destroyed, I probably will be a wreck, because I feel like so much of my life has been in that stadium of crazy things that I've done.
Right.
And crazy, but at the same time, it is time to move on, and it also is time to for Hawaii to embrace whatever future. But they really do need a master plan,
right?
To make this happen.
because I was a major fan as a kid in the 80s, you know, even the 90s, and just ever since, like, the whole pay-per-view thing, and it's just a downward spiral. Of,
it is.
Kind of like the Sugar Bowl was kind of like the culmination of the downward spiral. For sure. You know, Norm Chow, you know.
Yeah.
That was the thing that just put the nail in the coffin. So that hopefully.
And I think hopefully, evolve. Like, you're right. Winning is going to help things, but also understanding that it's a different time. Like, a lot of people just are just not as interested in going to this, going to live sporting events. Like, just the ease of watching it at home. But really, the experience is, you can't beat it. It's like, I don't go to the movies often, even though I'm an actor. But when I go to the movies, I realize how much different the experience of watching a film is at the theater, and how the director really created this masterpiece for big screen, and we don't get that same type of experience. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, keep in mind, you know, so, you know, with all this traveling, you do do something. You do the acting.
I do. That's what they call it. The good thing about acting is that you don't work every day, but I mean, you have to book so that you can work. When you can work, so you can make money to live, but at the same time, it is one of those occupations or those crafts or whatever that really expands your skill set, because you have to be really introspective, delve deep within yourself to figure out what you want to be, who you are, and that opens you up to all kinds of experiences. So you know, I think acting is just one of those things that is always going to be a part of me, but I don't know what I'm defined by. I'm still a work in progress.
Well,
I think.
Great way to the segue. What are you defined by? Current coming up or anything? And what's the latest gigs you got going on?
I mean, it's always a commercial. I do mostly commercials. But thank God that I'm a union member and, you know, a SAG member for about 6 years now, and it's been great because, I mean, it's one of the few unions not too many people complain about. I still complain about it. People still complain about it, but I'm thankful that, you know, I have people that fight for a working. A lot of people think, oh, you're an actor, so you like, you're not like DiCaprio. Like, no, there are other actors that like make
a
living.
You don't do
cocaine,
or yeah, I know.
I mean, but
you're not one of them.
No, but it's funny because the people will make jokes on sale, like, who's got this? And they're like, that was a joke from the 90s. You can't say that anymore. Like, who has cocaine? Like, basically on set. Like, that was like, that was just a thing in the 90s. Like, oh, you can't ask that anymore. Like,
what's in 2019? What's the drug of choice in 2019?
Oh,
what you hearing on Twitter? What's going on?
I mean, we're a green nation now, so of course always a
good answer by you. Yes, that's good. Good. Hashtag agents listening.
Oh yeah. So hashtag never drug tested. That's why you do your own thing.
Well, I gotta say, like, do you still do the PacWest show? Or
what? I do. PacWest, you know, we were on OC16. I was with Bob, and Bob was, you know, one of my big mentors, him being on TV. So him and I worked in the conference office. Still now, 13 years later, we're gonna start a, you know, we have a office in Newport. We moved from, so actually, me being in LA helped me to be closer to the office. So. But I mostly, basketball season is big for us, big baseball. Yep. And, you know, it was big. In Hawaii, it was. You know, lots of history there, Chaminade.
Yeah.
But we lost BYU Hawaii, which is kind of sad, too. So.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And shout out to you, as if you look on, you know, your website, just a clip of you with Deidre Hall.
Yes.
Shout out Deidre Hall. Deidre Hall reference.
Yes.
If anybody out there is listening knows who Deidre Hall is, I don't know what to tell you. But yes, because was that Days of Our Lives?
Days of Our Lives, So that was a day player. I'm supposed to go back, actually, possibly next week, which it's actually filmed a couple years ago. But honestly, soap operas are not like anything else. Soap operas are like, they film on like that. Like, they're edited.
Right.
They edit while they're filming. So like, it's like filming a live football event.
Yeah, unreal.
So it's crazy. They put, you know, 5-0 does one episode in 8 days. They do one episode a day. They knock out the whole episode. So that's how you do 54 seasons. Yeah, I don't know how many years she's been
Jesus.
On. Yeah, wow. It's crazy. Like, it's thousands and thousands of episodes. So it was cool to have your name, have my own dressing room, be by all of the Emmys and see it. And, you know, it was cool to walk by it and be a part of, have my name added to that.
You still have tradition. Soap operas in 2019.
It's crazy.
Who's
there's an audience for everything.
Right?
I guess.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
It's like right next to like Pressure Luck or something. Like, what's on TV right now?
Pressure Luck, I mean.
Pressure Luck came back, right? Awesome. There's a game show. What is on? Like, Win, Lose, or Draw? No.
I mean, that's really
the pyramid.
I want the pyramid. I want the thing about 25. I need the Dick Clark original, like that aesthetic, the 80s. That's the kind of pyramid.
Thing spins around, the theme song, right?
And I want to be the celebrity guest this time. I always wanted to be the
celebrity week.
Oh, but next time I'm going to be. Yeah, next time I get to give the clues and stuff. Like,
oh gosh, we're going at the game shows right now.
Hold the.
You see what happens when sake hits? You see, we're going to game shows. Pressure Luck, Deidre Hall. You know what that means? It's time to go, Wayne. Wayne Coito, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Great stuff, man.
Great stuff. We'll take a break. Sleep time's over.
Don't you go anywhere. Sleep Time's Over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
This is called Broken Wings. I got my man Mark Nizal singing on this. Yo, you don't like this drama. Check this out. Turn that a little bit. Can we bump that a little bit? First time I'm playing this for anybody.
Track mind, mind on the money and the money on her mind. Steady on the grind, she get money all the time. You know what they say, it ain't always what it seems. Looking in from outside, she living a dream. If you look behind the scenes and everything in between, all that dirty laundry that's never quite clean. Every week another trip, coming back with a grip, but the habits of catching up to her quick. To the trip, down a rabbit hole, tabs look to her rib. To-do list never did, empty baggies at a crib. Living fat, but she getting thin. Every night with different men, I'm just checking in. Wanted to see how you been, if you need a friend. You got one till the end, told her that she's beautiful, and this is what she said.
Angel with broken wings, took a smile that shakes the town. Got so high.
So, who produced it? Oh, nice. Nice.
You know my grind like all day. Money on my mind like always. They don't want to see me ballin'. They would rather see me in the coffin. Shake them off, tell them haters get off me. I'm shining now, I know that they can't stop me. Used to look into them guys, now we all here. Every year, told my mama it was our year. Beyond fine, beautiful, but I had to cut it off, cuticle. Feel them walls closing in, cubicle. Your man belong on stage, musical. A lot on my mind, I'm gonna make it. I know it's my time, so I'm gonna take it. One step at a time, no time for the fake shit. Got you, like I'm in the matrix.
Right on, right on, right on, right on.
Nice.
Can I play one more? Can I play one more? Can I play one more? Okay, one more, guys. Yeah, one
sample,
more, guys.
Sample.
Yeah.
There's no free kind. You sure? What? You want to?
Nah, man.
People need to purchase these. We're not on a video.
I just wanted
this,
you to hear it because when this is coming out soon. So I just, this is like, okay. Yeah. That came out. So this is a cool one right here. This is, I recorded this in Tokyo. It's called Way Back.
Let's take them back, way back, when it was all about the raps and not the Maybach. Freestyling to the break of dawn, and if you bust writtens, you would get shitted on. Let's take them way back, when you read the liner notes and you knew A-track. DJ scratched the record, MC dropped gems, they love to hear the story again and again. If I was a rug cleaner, show would have the cleanest rugs I am. Ooh la la la, slam, here is something you can't understand. Can I kick it? Yes, you can. Hardcore hip-hop, hardcore. Bring it back to the roots. Do you want more?
Yeah.
Pick it up. Tonight's the night, baby. We finna live it up. Relax your mind, let your conscience be free. Get down with the sounds of the G-A-N-G. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the cops. Don't get too close or you might get shot. Boom, bye-bye to a body guy head. Is he dead? Excuse me as I kiss the sky. Would you let me ride? Let's take him back. Way back, when it was all about the raps and not the Maybach. Freestyling to the break of dawn, and if you bust writtens, you would get shitted on. Let's take them back. Way back, when you read the liner notes and you knew A-track. DJ scratched the record, MC dropped gems. They love to hear the story again and again. Musician, inflicting composition. I came to bring the pain, hardcore to your brain. Come on and attract to what? If you're feeling lucky duck, then press your luck. Never thought it could happen with this rapping stuff.
I was too used to selling sacks and stuff. People having memory loss, they don't remember I'm the boss. You're claustrophobic, that's when you're lost. My dear, my dear, my dear, you do not know me, but you know I'm selling D-R-U-G-S's and clocking dollars true. One for the money, yes sir, two for the show. Don't front, you know I got you open, and I didn't even have to use my AK. Coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. Where'd you get your information from, huh? Dump, dun, 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 dun. Let's take them back, way back, way back, when it was all about the raps and not the Maybach. Freestyling to the break of dawn, and if you bust writtens, you would get shitted on. Let's take them back, way back, way back, when you read the liner notes and you knew A-track. DJ scratch the record, MC drop gems, they love to hear the story again and again. Let's take them back, way back, way back, when it was all about the raps and not the Maybach. Freestyling to the break of dawn, and if you bust writtens, you would get shitted on. Let's take them back, way back, way back, when you read the liner notes and you knew A-track. DJ scratch the record, MC drop gems, they love to hear the story again and again.
So
yeah. That'll be a fun one. That'll be a fun one to perform when we get that album done.
Indeed. You ready, Tasha? Yes, you ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Honolulu City, stand up. Yeah. How shall I start? Like Moses, I'll part the seas. Put next coast on the charts for you all to see. Hop on board, embark on this odyssey. Lay back in your car seat, spark a breeze. I wake up in my lair, high like the Himalayas. Slayer like King Kamehameha. Spend a minute just pinning this song, dedicated to my natives who've been with it so long. About to dive in it, no longer dip our feet in it. Drink the Smirnoff beer with the seed in it. My archipelago flow is unforgettable, tropical style. This is who Monocalypse now played the bat. They all thought we living in shacks, ripping the track so much Dr. Stitching it back. Throw your H's up in the air, keep them sky high. Repping the H-A-W-A-I. The city with the golden sound. Young ladies looking dope like O's and pounds. Next coast flows profound. It ain't Hawaii 5-0. We own this town. The city with the golden sound. Young ladies looking dope like O's and pounds. Next coast flows profound. It ain't Hawaii 5-0. We own this town. Straight out of high state. Yeah. This sound. Yeah. Straight out of high state, crazy young spitter named Emerse, feet first, dive in it, get live with it, jump off waterfalls, grabbing my balls, when night falls, we partying, no stabbing the brawls, having the ball, stashed by the last call, link back with your team like what happened to y'all, half them left to smoke, the other half stepping the hose, hit the parking lot, connect with your folks, oh, I'm from the next coast, this is how we rolling the high, my rowdy brothers put the swole in your eye, trying to impress a chick with nice breasts and sis, she be like, buy me that, get me this, nope, my please don't get me twist, but Honolulu ladies are the sexiest, so put your H's up in the air, keep them sky high, reppin' the H-A-W-A-I-I, the city with the golden sound, young ladies looking dope like O's and pounds, next coast flows profound, it ain't Hawaii 5-0, we own this town, the city with the golden sound, young ladies looking dope like O's and pounds, next coast flows profound, it ain't Hawaii 5-0, we own this town. City, we on top of it, hot shit, I'm dropping it, from a tropical metropolis. This one for my islanders, North Shore to Diamond Head, y'all know what time it is. The minute you step off the plane, hit the club, nightlife is off the chain. Y'all wonder why I speak heat and flamethrow shit. Our studio's on the goddamn volcano, yeah. Shout to Sleep Time is over, yeah, one time. Shout out to my man Mr. Rios, DJ Drama, yeah. The highbrow room, definitely in effect. Yes, sir. Hey.
Nice.
That was the other Ooh. Instrument. That was the other instrumental. I know.
That was the chorus without this. Let's pull this out because this is what this was all about here.
the sample.
Shout out size one came with that.
Size one, man. Where are you right now? Where's size right now? Do we know where size is at?
Well, man, we're about to be cooking up on some serious.
Oh, he's back in the game.
Yeah, he's back.
Okay.
He's been sending me some beats. We're going to reconnect. And my next. I got to put this one out that I got out for the HI story. Oh. And then we reconnect him.
Cats out the back. Wow. Part two, part three of Tasha Pierce at this point. Wow. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Size one. Shout out size one. The first ever Sleep Time's Over stat boy. He was on the show for a while. And then we miss him. So we don't know where he was. He was talking about crazy movies back in the day. So. He was the creator of this track. I tell you what. So before we head on out here, shout out Tasha, man.
My man.
Great stuff.
Appreciate it.
Tasha Pierce, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Yes. Shout out Wayne Coito. Shout out Sky Cameron. Shout out DJ Freeze is here. Kale, The Lord, Sakai and Company. What are the cupcakes this week? Does anybody can shout that out to me? They were bomb. Irish cream. When people all talk at the same time, I'm not going to know what that means. So they're good, all right? They're good shit. This man, he's got a new album coming out. We didn't even get to talk about sake. This man's got sake. He's going to be giving everybody sake, I guess, while off camera. I don't know.
Let's go.
Let's get out of here. Sleep time's over. Good night.
Cheers. Hey, shout out to our Portland listeners. Go Blazers.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.